much about. So easy.
You gotta put it in perspective.
My friends always said to me, your voice is like butter to our ears. Could you please find a way to get that audible chocolate on the airwaves? Well, here I am.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
I asked for my coffee, they asked for my name, and I told them my name is Merry Christmas. So guess what? Starbucks, I tricked you into putting Merry Christmas on your cup. And I'm challenging all great Americans and Christians around this great nation, go into Starbucks and take your own coffee selfie. I guarantee that we can make this go around the world. And Starbucks, guess what? Just to offend you, I made sure to wear my Jesus Christ shirt into your store. And since you hate the Second Amendment, I even carried my gun.
I really, truly believe there is something wrong with this guy. I don't know what his problem is, but I'm sure it's hard to pronounce.
And now.
But equally important is encouraging more men to sometimes just shut the hell up.
Our feature presentation.
Man, oh man. We talked about this yesterday. That guy is unbelievable.
Or is he the best ad move that Starbucks has ever done?
It's pretty genius, Allie.
Right?
Interesting.
Did you see how many people posted their cups that said Merry Christmas? How much money did Starbucks make just off of them proving a point that, what?
Wait, so they did it on purpose to get
people
PR?
To buy more coffee. Go right. In there and show Starbucks by buying coffee.
You buy their coffee and you buy a lot of it.
Right?
I've heard that those red cups are so popular that people who don't even drink coffee
right.
are going into Starbucks to
saw
buy it.
I saw that on the news, Bean. It is true.
If it's on the news, it must be true.
That guy's crazy. Like, to him, he was really destroying Starbucks.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, he was.
And I wore a Jesus shirt. Right.
Deal with that. I brought up my gun.
What the hell?
Yeah. Good times.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It's Thursday. It's the 12th of November.
I was wondering what Kevin does all day. Don't you wonder about that sometimes, Allie?
I start to think about it, and then I just get nervous. So,
yeah. I was thinking about that. Well, I've heard your work on the show, starters, but he's not working on the show. So what is he doing? Then I thought, well, it must take him a long time to get home every day to try to remember where he lives.
Sure.
Right?
Sure.
I would think. Because you got to stop and ask, have you seen me before? Do I go this way? And then by the time you get home, I assume you just spend the rest of the afternoon playing Taint Wars. And then, I don't know, at night, I mean, I guess it's some sort of ice cream.
Hockey, yeah.
Maybe
yeah.
Watching some hockey and then an ice cream store tour where he just goes from ice cream store to ice cream store just getting hot fudge sundaes.
Yes.
That is funny, considering that I went to Ralph's last night, and all I got was ice cream sandwiches. And as I was going up to the front, I thought, just get something else so you don't look like such a loser. Just anything else. Just grab
some. Well, look, you're trying to be a good provider for your family.
Right.
You picked up dinner on the way home.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Hey, kids, ice cream sandwiches for dinner again.
It's the only reason I went.
Wow. Let me tell you about a guy who had an interesting day yesterday, or this earlier this week, when he placed his ad in the Hollywood Reporter. His name is Eric D. Wilkinson. He is not well known. He is a producer and writer of independent movies. And there's a lot of them in this town, let's face it. And they all, they're just scratching and clawing, trying to make a living, doing their thing. Well, neither he nor Hollywood Reporter has announced the official figure, but it is in the thousands of dollars, okay? To buy a full-page ad about making a new Die Hard movie. He is, in his words, a crazy addict of the Die Hard movies.
Right.
And he details in his full-page ad where the franchise went wrong.
The second one, the whole thing.
Outlining how it can write its course, and just in general just giving lots of advice to the people who make the Die Hard movies and saying, look, well, I'll read a little bit of it. My name is Eric D. Wilkinson. I'm a producer and writer of independent movies. I withdrew money I don't really have from my savings to reach out to tell you today that I love the movie Die Hard. Let me say it again.
I love Die Hard.
It does sound a little bit like our friend Nick. It's my favorite movie of all time. I've been there on opening day for every one of the sequels like a crazy addict. I keep coming back because I so desperately want to experience that first high I got as a teenager back in 1988.
Two doesn't give you a high, people. Stay away from two.
While I like the sequels, each one has left me somewhat unsatisfied. I know that I speak for a number of fans when I say that the problem with them is that they are missing the one key ingredient which made the original so great, an ordinary man and extraordinary circumstances.
Right.
You know what he's talking about here, Kevin?
Yeah.
The original Die Hard trailer boasts he's an easy guy to like but a hard man to kill. But by the time you get to the fifth movie, he's become completely impossible to kill. Somewhere along the way, John McClane became a man he has told Hans Gruber he wasn't. John Rambo, an unstoppable killing machine. We love McClane precisely because he's a regular guy. He's one of us, a fly in the ointment, a pain in the ass. He's flawed. He gets hurt. He's ordinary, and that's okay. And he just goes on and on and on and lays out his whole pitch for how the what the movie should be about. Thousands of dollars of his own money.
Yeah, did you say he took out money that he didn't even have?
That's what
like
he said.
Put it on credit?
Well, he said this was his – I mean, he did take it out of his savings accounts. It sounds like he had it, but maybe you know, it could have better been used for something else. He said that he does not expect to make any impact whatsoever. He was
okay,
asked
good.
In an interview with Gawker, how realistic is it do you think this movie will actually get made? Oh, I'm not going to hear from them at all. My chances are slim to none. Realistically, I don't believe that Bruce Willis or the producer or the director are going to call a writer without representation and say, sure, take our million-dollar franchise. Would I love the opportunity to get in a room with those guys and
yes,
talk about
I would.
Detail with my idea? Absolutely. But realistically, this is going to trend for a couple days, and then I'm going to go back to doing what I do. So he knows it's futile. But he's such a crazy diehard fan that he could not stop himself. He's asked, if it's not going to happen, why spend the money to take out the ad? He answers, because at the end of the day, I just want them to make a really cool diehard movie. I'm a fan. I'm no different from anyone else that sits behind their computer and sounds off ideas for good movies. The only difference is I said, to hell with it. I'm going to take this money out of savings and do it. It's a demonstration of my passion. There's Star Wars fans, Back to the Future fans who build their own time machines. I'm just a diehard fan. And I said, you know what? I just want them to make a good diehard movie. Here's my idea. So what about that? What about that guy?
I feel like they are making a new Die Hard movie, aren't they? I thought they were making
Die Hard Year One. That's right.
So maybe they could go to him for some advice.
Would you go to that guy if you're making the movie?
You know what? Someone that passionate, I might just hire him on as a consultant.
Why not? Just because he has no affiliation with the franchise
previously. Let me tell you what I would do here.
That's why not. Does it mean he might not have good ideas,
though? Oh, dear God.
He might have great notes.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know?
Well, why are you assuming that his ideas, because he's passionate and took this extraordinary step, why are you assuming his ideas are crap?
Kevin.
I'm just saying, what are the chances?
Well, I mean, look.
What are the chances? The odds are.
The people who come up with and make movies are just people, and in many cases, just fans of movies just like this guy's. And by the way, if it matters, if you need some sort of resume, this guy is a writer and a film producer. So it's not like he doesn't know anything about the business.
I've written a movie, too. Come on, B.
Well, I think it's neat. I do. I like that this guy is so passionate about this.
That was your takeaway. That was it. Bean, I just want to hug your neck.
That's the first time that. I just think that's neat has been said since Happy Days.
Well, good luck to you, Mr. Wilkinson. I hope it all works out. I hope you get to have some influence on making a good Die Hard movie, because that'd be good for everybody.
It would.
Yeah. All right. We should talk to that guy, by the way. Let's talk about today's Kevin Abicho, shall we?
Kevin. You're the only one who can hear me, Kevin. No one else knows I'm talking to you, Kevin. You, Kevin, hold the key. I need you, Kevin.
What was that?
What?
I don't. What? What was what? We didn't play anything.
On the program today, we have Jim Rome talking sports. We have a brand new internet roundup. We have Dr. Drew on the show. We have Anna Faris on the show. I'm sorry, I've been saying it wrong. It's Anna.
Mm-hmm.
We have Bob Odenkirk on the show as well. How about that? Pretty strong. Plus, we've got your tickets for Coldplay. That's coming up. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's Kevin and Bean Show. It is 5:54.
Tomorrow night, That band right there, Coldplay, playing that song, among others, at the Blasco Theater. You cannot buy tickets. You can only win them from K-Rock. We have them for you later on this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. And don't forget, if you don't get tickets, you can stream the show live through Tidal.com as well. So that's a pretty good deal. Hey, Allie McKay.
Hey, Bean.
You're filling in for Ralph Garman today.
I am.
What's going on?
He said he has had enough of our beep.
Yeah.
He did say that, actually. Yeah.
That happens once a week.
Yeah.
At least.
I understand it. I get it. Well, sticking with some Coldplay news, they have been tapped to perform their new single, Adventures of a Lifetime, at the American Music Awards.
Hmm. Yes. So now I have to record the American Music Awards, which I wasn't going to do.
Well,
okay.
You might want to, because Gwen Stefani will also be added to the lineup.
Okay.
Plus Macklemore and Ryan Lewis performing a new song. I mean, well, Coldplay and
right.
Gwen Stefani,
mm-hmm.
but also Macklemore and
Fast
Ryan
Fast forwarding
Lewis.
Is key in a show like that.
Absolutely. Though, so. It will be hosted, though, by Jennifer Lopez, so you may not be fast forwarding that much.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
Microsoft Theater on November the 22nd.
The Monkees.
Will not be there, unfortunately.
That's a good guess, though, Rodney.
Yeah,
you.
He is really good at guessing. Mm-hmm. It's one of my favorite things. I had no idea this was going on, and I might have to record Jimmy Fallon tomorrow night.
Mm.
Words that have never come out of my mouth.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
However, there's a band that happens to be one of my favorites that will be reuniting to perform a couple songs. That band, A Tribe Called Quest.
Interesting.
Right?
Interesting.
Yeah, they are going to be there because they're remastered their album People's Instinctive Travels and the Paths of Rhythm, their first album, arguably the best, in my opinion. Some people think Low End Theory, but I don't know.
Now, Bean, is this one of those things where they remaster it where you don't like it as much as the original? Is that a different thing?
No, they're not changing anything in the music. They're just cleaning it up, taking advantage of more modern recording techniques. And sometimes when they do that, they re-release it with, additional material and bonus tracks and things like that. I haven't heard much about this release, but it's possible there'll be something cool like that, too.
All right.
I believe they do. There's no information on here, of course, but Pharrell Williams will be doing his take on Bonita Applebaum, and CeeLo is going to do something with Footprints.
I blame it on the hip-hop.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That's fair. Fair thing to say. Have you guys been hearing about all these Guns N' Roses?
Yes.
Reunion.
It's starting to sound legit, isn't it? Or at least the rumors are picking up steam.
I dismiss those as soon as I hear them.
See, I don't know. They're becoming more and more
prevalent.
Yeah,
this one sounds different this time around.
Yeah, so apparently word is Axl and Slash have made up. They've been chatting. A new era of Guns N' Roses is about to happen, all in time to celebrate their 30th anniversary.
Wow.
Can you believe that? 30 years. But then you have to think, 22 of those years, though, they weren't
not really
doing
together.
So it's not that big of a reunion since it really.
I feel like Axl sort of looks like he's become a wax figure and he's not
as
good a singer.
He does look crazy.
Yeah.
I will give you that. But if they are willing to make up and go out on tour, my God. You want to see that,
right?
I'd be
interested in that, yeah.
Absolutely. Well, apparently this time a Portuguese news outlet and Dish Nation are claiming that they've made up. And the original lineup is going to get together in Portugal next year after that, play some festivals in Europe and the U.S. before kicking off a massive world tour.
That's something else right there, man.
Right. Anytime a Portuguese news outlet comes out, I think we're
on the
right.
They get it right, usually, yeah.
We are on the right track. This is not good news. Gavin Rossdale.
Yeah.
Gwen Stefani.
Mm-hmm.
Not good. Not good things coming out. Who cheated on who? Is it Gwen with Blake? Did that happen before the separation? Nobody knows. Well, now, here's the rumor. Gavin Rossdale was carrying on a torrid affair with the nanny for 3 years, and Gwen Stefani supposedly found out when she discovered messages on the family iPad. What?
Why didn't he just write him on a poster and put it on the wall?
Oh, why? I will go with Ralph on this. Why are people hiring hot nannies? Why?
I don't know.
Well, the only
know.
Thing I can guess is maybe they try to hire the people who are best qualified to take care of their children.
No.
And rather than discriminate against them because they're attractive and hire someone less qualified?
True. I think there's a lot of dogs out there that are great with kids. Anyone?
Yeah. Look, yeah, there are. There are people of all levels of attractiveness that are great with kids, but I think in the case where the hot one is hired, I think they're hired because they think they'll do a good job.
What, is she uptight, though? I mean, it's only been 3 years. Right?
What is wrong with her? You're right. We're going to have some amazing Super Bowl news for you coming up in just a bit as well. But for now, all these stars were born on November the 12th. My favorite, Megan Mullally, is 57 years old today. How great is she?
She's great.
Bean.
Yeah. Yeah,
she's great. Come on. Weigh in.
She's very talented.
She's great.
She's Children's Hospital's Megan Mullally.
All right. Ryan Gosling, 35. Anne Hathaway is 33. And UFC Octagon girl Ariane Celeste is 30. I'm Allie McKay, and for Ralph Garman, welcome to Showbiz Beat.
You could be this double December, people. What?
What?
You go.
No, you you're on the right path. Okay.
Come on.
1 week from tomorrow is the deadline for you to submit your entry at krock.com if you would like to be Miss Double December 2016. And why wouldn't you be? And by the way, I was thinking about this, Kevin. Isn't it about, thank God for us. Thank God for
right.
Kevin.
I think that all the time.
Isn't it about time that young, beautiful women with huge hooters finally got some attention paid to them? Right? They've been so in the shadows for so long.
It's an underserved group.
Absolutely. Yeah. They are ignored. And that's why we are doing something for you. If you have what it takes to be Miss Double December 2016, we want you to go to krock.com. You must be 21 or over. Just fill out the entry forms online, upload a couple of photos. And then if you win, and the pageant, by the way, is going to be December 4th, which is fast approaching at the Rock and Roll Slide Bar Kitchen in downtown Fullerton. If you win, you will be a part of the Kevin and Bean Show for next year. You'll get to go to Acoustic Christmas in December, both nights. You get to go to the Kevin and Bean singles parties, the Breakfast Whiz, the April Foolishness, next summer's Weenie Roast. You get all of that, and you're part of the Kevin and Bean and K-Rock family if you are Miss Double December. Man, we've made some very good friends with the ladies who have won over the past.
All but one of them still love us.
And I'm happy to say that they do stay in touch. So it's if you want to be a lifetime friend of the Kevin and Bean Show, please submit your entry now. And again, you have till next Friday to get it in at krock.com. You'll find all the details there. All right. Anna Faris from CBS's Mom joins us in minutes. You're listening to Kevin and Bean Show here on a Thursday morning. Let's do some death, shall we?
Hey, everybody. Gather all the kiddies around the radio. It's time for Bean's Death Corner.
Bean loves death any time of day. He gets all giddy and screams hooray. There's something wrong in his head. Death. We don't know what's wrong with Bean, but now you'll get to see what we mean. Oh, Bean loves death. Oh, Bean loves death.
I love death.
Bean has a Google alert for death.
Well, I do like to stay current, sure, as you know, about all things in the news that involve people dying in unusual, interesting, or hopefully funny ways. I will say this first story is not funny in that it is one of the most terrifying things I have ever read in my life. I'm not sure I understand the science behind it, but the Centers for Disease Control in Atlanta say that it is one of the strangest and most unsettling cases they have ever encountered. The researchers say that scans of a very ill man in Colombia revealed what looked like cancer, but the tumors were composed of cells that were not human.
Wait, what?
Yes.
What?
Cells that were not human gave this man cancer. The tumors had come from a tapeworm in his body that had developed cancer and spread the disease to its host. This is the first time this has been recorded as ever happening. An invasion of human tissue by abnormal, proliferating, genetically altered tapeworm cells. A novel disease mechanism. The man died 72 hours after the researchers pinpointed the cause of the tumors.
Wow.
We just had that guy in the news a couple of weeks ago, that California guy in Napa Valley, remember, who went to the hospital with that real bad headache and found out that he had tapeworm larvae living in his brain?
I don't want worms in my brain.
No.
No. No.
That seems bad.
This guy, they found tapeworm DNA in the tumors. It was a huge surprise. It's the first time we've seen parasite-derived cancer cells spreading within a human. Very unusual, very unique, and very terrifying.
And where was this?
This was in Colombia.
Oh, all right.
So you feel like you're safe.
Okay. I'm good. There's distance between us.
South America, what the hell?
I'm fine.
Here's another crazy and unusual case. This is in Council, Idaho. It's the first officer-involved shooting in Adams County history. What happened is a Subaru station wagon ran into a cow on a highway a couple of Sundays ago just north of Council, which is a small town in Idaho of about 800 people.
I feel that.
You've been there, Kevin. Adams County Sheriff's deputies responded to the crash. The injured cow began charging emergency responders as they worked to get the driver and the passenger out of the car, say the Idaho State Police. The bull was very agitated, was very aggressive to, you know what, it says it was a cow, now it says it's a bull, was very aggregated and aggressive to emergency services as well as to other cars coming down the highway. So what they decided to do was put the cow down.
Okay.
At the moment they decided to put the cow down, the bull's owner, Jack Yantis, shows up with a rifle, and a shootout ensues.
With
He's
the cow?
Like, yes, you're not going to kill my cow. And they have a shootout, and the cow's owner, Jack Yantis, ends up being killed at the scene. A deputy suffered a minor injury. Isn't it crazy? One minute, it's a nice bucolic, you know, countryside in Idaho, and the next minute, there's a shootout and a bull that's attacking people. What a crazy way for that to go down like that,
and
right?
That's why I don't go to Idaho.
That story had everything.
It did. It had everything. That's insanity.
Wow.
Here's a Death Corner item that I got sent by a lot of listeners, and a lot of people said, hey, next time you have Joe Rogan on, you have to talk to him. This is the woman in Las Vegas who froze to death in a chirotherapy chamber.
Yep.
Now, a lot of people use this. What are the details? You go into, it's kind of a reverse sauna. You go in, and instead of getting real hot, you get real, real cold.
Yeah, it's
right?
Like 270 degrees below zero, but only for a couple of minutes, and it's just air. Your skin isn't touching anything. Supposedly, it rejuvenates, and it helps you if you have pain and inflammation.
A lot of famous athletes use it. LeBron James uses it. Floyd Mayweather Jr. You're supposed to use it to recover from muscle soreness. Some people think it also helps you lose weight. Anyway, this woman, Chelsea Ake, was only 24 years old. She worked at a place called Rejuvenice. It's a sports clinic that offered chirotherapy. She climbed in by herself after store hours and was found 10 hours later frozen in ice. Medical experts suggest that what might have happened is that the nitrogen, there's, you know, the fog that's in the room there with you, has a lot of nitrogen in it, that it may have overcome her, and that's what made her pass out. And once she passed out, she, of course, froze to death. The clinic's owners released a statement saying, we're all incredibly saddened. We firmly believe in whole-body chirotherapy treatments for pain management, athletic recovery, and a variety of other ailments.
We Maybe now's not the time to sell your product.
Yeah, try not to pitch it in the death notice.
That's what they're doing. They're selling it. Hey, look, it didn't work for Chelsea, but you might enjoy it.
Look, she died, but we believe in it. So come on in.
My God.
What the hell?
Well, still a bad way to go if you're found frozen to death. A couple more real fast. Illinois Funeral Home had a very terrible situation. Monique Williams told CBS Chicago that the staff of the funeral home Leak & Sons, when she showed up to ask to see her mother, showed her a body that was not her mother's. She even checked under the wig to make sure and realized, no, it's not my mom. So they said, oh, you know what? That's our bad, but we've got your mom. Let's bring her right out. They proceeded to bring out three different bodies.
No.
One of whom they were so convinced was the lady's mother that they had put her in the mother's dress.
Oh, my God. Like, losing your mom isn't enough problems.
She lost her mom twice. Lost her when she died. Lost her when she took her to the funeral home. An investigation ensued, and what had happened is, this lady's mother had been released to a different family the day before and had already been buried.
No.
That means there's another family who buried the wrong lady. Then they had to dig her up, do the testing, and confirm that it was, in fact, a body switcheroo, and then have both funerals all over again.
Is that an official term?
Is this
a body switcheroo?
Movie ever.
If you call it a body switcheroo, maybe it doesn't hurt so much for the family to realize. Can you imagine as it occurred to the people in the funeral home? Oh my God, she's that lady who's downstairs is waiting for us to bring her mom. That's the lady that we gave to the other family yesterday that they already buried.
What do we do? What do we do? What do we do? You know they had
finally. This is maybe the saddest story ever, and I hope the kids aren't listening because it's a real-life nightmare before Christmas. There in Russia is a theme park, all right?
And they have a reindeer in the theme park. It's called Father Frost's Urals Residence. It's located in central Russia. They have an 8-year-old reindeer there that gives rides to the kids around the winter wonderland. It's the home to Father Frost, who is the Russian version of Santa Claus. The little reindeer's name is Bugar. Police say that he
is
has
it Bugar?
It is Bugar.
Okay, just check.
Police say that the reindeer was stolen and they believe eaten. Stolen for someone who is interested in his reindeer meat. The popular animal attraction would have been difficult to sell. Police are still looking for the person who stole and potentially ate Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. They are offering a whopping reward of $312 if anyone has any information of Bugar's whereabouts.
So in Russia, that's a lot.
Is it?
They're very serious about cracking the case. Anyway, I'm sorry to have to bring you that bad news, kids, but no Rudolph this Christmas for you. This has been Bean's Death Corner.
That was Bean's Death Corner.
Oh, Bean loves death. Oh, Bean loves death.
Oh, Bean loves death so much.
OQ, it's the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:39.
Bob Odenkirk joins us next hour on the Kevin and Bean Show. Also, we'll catch up with our friend Jim Rome. By the way, I know he wants to talk about it. Allie, did you see the Ray Ray, the football player who's taunting a police dog?
I didn't.
It's so Raiders that you would do that. And he lifted up his shirt and started barking at a police dog, which apparently is a crime.
Wait, you can't do that now?
Apparently you're no longer allowed to taunt a police dog. I don't remember what state the Raiders were playing in, but apparently it is a crime that is punishable to up to 7 years in prison for taunting a police dog.
That's so Raiders.
7 years in prison? What'd you do?
I taunted a dog.
I barked at a dog. You want some of this?
I totally get that you don't want people screwing with police dogs.
Right.
I totally get that they should be protected and that they're working and blah, 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 blah.
But aren't there enough Raiders in jail already? Is that your point?
Well, that's what I was thinking, yeah. And you're absolutely right, Kevin. There's no street cred whatsoever in his story. In the locker room, when all the Raiders are comparing, you know, what sent them to the big house, he's got the worst story of all. Anyway, we'll talk about that with our friend Jim Rome coming up later on today. And, of course, keep on listening for your chance to win your way into Coldplay, the pair of tickets for the private K-Rock show at the Belasco Theater. The show is tomorrow night. Go to K-Rock.com, get all the details on that. That is coming up in just a few minutes as well.
Yeah, we're going to give you a chance to win at that, but I'd like to just apologize ahead of time because it's going to be rough. It's going to be a rough one today.
Oh, the game that we have to play? Yeah. Yeah. It's one of our most painful games. All right. We're very excited to welcome back to the program our friend Anna Faris. She, of course, is one of the co-stars of the delightful CBS comedy called Mom. It airs Thursday nights at 9. Just premiered last week. Anna, welcome back to Kevin and Bean, my dear. How are you?
Hi. I'm good. Great. Thank you guys for having me.
Of course. We're always excited when we get the chance to talk. Yep, that's right. So you had a summer vacation since the last time we talked to you, and I wanted to start by asking, what did you do when you weren't making Mom?
Oh, I was in Baton Rouge, which is where you always want to spend July and August.
Yeah, nice and cool.
Okay.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
On purpose? Uh-huh. Wait, were you there on purpose?
Well, so Chris, what we try to do is just anytime if I'm on hiatus, I fly to wherever he is because he's now, like, we keep looking at each other being like, what the F happened? I travel to wherever he is. With our little son, and we're just so he's in Atlanta now, but he was in Baton Rouge over the summer making a western, so we were out there.
Did you say at any point can you make that someplace else so that we don't have to come there?
I feel a little bit of griping on my own, but I spent some time at the mall.
Okay.
All
right.
You know,
wherever the air conditioning is. Exactly.
When you're an actor, I think I'm so lucky that Chris still feels this way. I think you're just so grateful to have a job that you're like, well,
everything else, yeah.
Yeah, you got to go where go where the work is. Speaking of Chris and speaking of you, I wanted to ask you about this because you guys are crazy Seahawks fans, as am I, Anna, and I wanted to know what your opinion was. Because everybody, well, first of all, you've been on TV talking about what a huge Seahawks fans you are.
No, I know, but I didn't know you were.
Oh, yeah. I live in Seattle, Anna.
Oh.
You guys remember the Super Bowl last year?
Oh, shut up with that.
Yeah.
I don't remember the Super Bowl. I didn't watch the end of it. I heard bad things happen.
Yeah.
But, Anna, here's the question I wanted to ask for you. I wanted to get your opinion on this because there are a lot of Seahawks fans who believe that the problems with the team this year, the reason they've had such a rough start and are at 4-4 right now, is because Russell Wilson has gone Hollywood, because now he's a $100 million player. Now he's got himself a superstar singer girlfriend, and he's going to the parties, and he's not focusing on football the way he used to. And I wondered if you had any thoughts on that as a fan watching at home.
Listen, don't you trash talk my Russell, first of all.
It's on.
I do. Here are my thoughts. Being unbelievably unqualified to answer and to give any kind of speculation, I think one of the strengths of the Seahawks is their youthfulness, but maybe that can also be causing some shift in morale. But I believe that it's a team that can recover, has before, they can rally. I'm still holding out a lot of hope. I think they just have to do some regrouping. They need to go on a retreat. Hey, they should come to a retreat to my house. I could be like their life coach.
That's the greatest invite ever.
How did we start talking about a football team and you ended up inviting them to your house?
She's smart like that. There are a lot of people who say that it's tough for any team that becomes successful. It's one thing to have that goal, that brass ring that you're reaching for, but then once you get there, once you win a Super Bowl, a lot of people think there's an inevitable letting up, that you don't have the same fire, you don't have the same drive.
As a Patriots fan, I don't even know the words that are coming out of your mouth. What? What?
Yes, Allie has been fairly spoiled as a football fan.
There needs to be a boost in morale, I think, for sure, and like in a little bit more cohesiveness. They were, last two seasons, they were such a cohesive team. They were, it felt sometimes like they were doing a dance together or something, And there hasn't been a ton of mental cohesion with a lot of the plays.
Did you feel last season the dance ended a second too early?
How dare you, Kevin?
Kevin,
How dare you?
I mean, you're just poor Anna. Anna just wants to talk about her show and how great life is.
No,
and
but
you're
it's
bringing
true.
Up the past.
It's true.
I'm sorry,
listen,
Anna.
I was there. Listen, I my heart was broken. I'm a less innocent person.
I'm sorry for bringing that back up.
Understood. Well, look, it all turns around this Sunday night against the Cardinals. I feel like this is going to be the beginning of Act 2 of this season, and it's going to go a lot better for us, Anna. So let's fingers crossed.
Okay.
All right, let's move on. Mom is back, Season 3. People continue to love it, and you've got some very special stars. I understand seeing the promos for tonight's episode, you got some very special guests on the program tonight.
Yeah, well, we had Ellen Burstyn on our season opener was last week, and she's brilliant. She's an incredible, Academy Award-winning actress, and this tonight we've got Emily Osment and Judy Greer, who is hysterical. We continue to just get really interesting, incredible people. Harry Hamlin was on our show. Joe Manganiello.
Joe. Yeah,
we're not going to try. We just call him Joe.
Joe.
Yeah, Joe.
The pretty one.
it's been so exciting, I love it that we can take a lot of risks because our producer Chuck Lorre, he sort of determined to make this show something different in a format that. Where we've seen pretty much the same formula for a decade now. Maybe.
That's true. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, so it's really exciting, and I hope that people continue to. I feel like we're building a really loyal fan base, and hopefully more people will.
Yep, you absolutely are. And the thing that's remarkable about this show, and everybody who tunes in, for more than one episode goes, wow, there's drama too. I mean, there's some real heavy stuff going on, but it's always just it's such a fine line that you guys walk between the stuff that kind of makes you think or cry and then the stuff that's hilarious right afterwards. And that's all the credit to the writers, I guess.
Well, Not all the credit.
All right. Well said, Anna. Mom airs Thursday nights at 9 on CBS. Always a delight to catch up when you go back to sleep. We'll talk to you next time, all right?
Thank you, Anna.
You guys, I felt like I was with my therapist. Thank you, guys. I love you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:56.
It's Thursday morning. In for Ralph Garman with the Showbiz Beat. Here's Allie.
You guys, I'd like to give something away.
Okay.
How about a pair of passes to the K-Rock advanced screening of the movie Legend? It's going to be at the... I know, kids. Kids love them.
They
some,
do.
Some murder, some death.
Some gangsters.
Yep.
Gangsters. Double the Tom Hardy, which I always say, if you can get one Tom Hardy, great. Two Tom Hardys, greater.
Pretty interesting.
I know, Rodney. If you don't know the story of the movie Legend, it is the story of identical twin gangsters, Reggie and Ronnie Cray, two of the most notorious criminals in British history. Organized crime empire ruled the East End of London during the 1960s, and Tom Hardy is playing both of the Cray brothers.
They're from Canada.
No, they are from London.
Oh, my God.
I know. Really? I know. Rodney, you've got to keep up. We've been talking about this. But this, I know. A pair of passes to the K-Rock advance screening at the Arclight Hollywood on November 17th. Of course, it's going to be in theaters on the 20th, but you get a jump start. Five pair of winners right now at 1-800-520-1067. Or 520.
Are the monkeys.
No,
nope.
Rodney. Nope.
Thank you,
we're going to do entertainment right now. But I appreciate you. Five pairs right now. 1-800-520-1067. I know where K-Rock's Nicole Alvarez will be at 11:30 this morning.
At 11:30 this morning?
Uh-huh.
It's too early for a strip club, so.
Yeah. She's probably going to be right in front of the Dolby Theater. Why? Because her man, Daniel Radcliffe, Harry Potter, is receiving his star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. Oh, she loves him, her some Harry Potter.
I believe everyone loves him. I got to tell you, we've interviewed him a couple times, and he could not be less affected and more nice. He's just so down to earth.
Delightful.
Yeah, it's really a guy with that kind of, you know, draw. It seems like they usually, it affects them, but he's great.
How old do you think he is?
11.
11?
25.
Okay.
25.
He's 26 years old, and what he's accomplished, just 26. Screw you, Daniel Radcliffe, is what I'm saying. I'm not saying that. But go 11:30 right in front of the Dolby Theater. He will be getting his star. The Super Bowl is going to be on CBS February 7th. And after the show, a lot of people wonder, what show are you going to put on because you're going to have a lot of eyeballs on it? Well, they have decided to go with special editions of The Late Show with Stephen Colbert, followed by...
Knock Knock Live?
Nope. The Late Late Show with James Corden.
Okay.
And they think maybe...
That's
fascinating.
Well, they think a lot of people might not be watching them. It's an audience that it's built in. You're just going to keep the TV on, and then you may say, oh, Stephen Colbert, haven't been watching. This is amazing. James Corden, haven't been watching. This is amazing.
They're both talented.
Amazing, guys. Can I say amazing one more time?
Not really.
Okay. But here's the thing that got me about this story. The most watched post-Super Bowl telecast of the past 10 years was in 2010. And that show, Undercover Boss.
Which didn't last long after that, did it?
But would you like to know how many viewers Undercover Boss had after the 2010 Super Bowl?
Yes.
38.7 million viewers.
Wow. Huge hit is like 7 million.
Maybe.
Wow.
38.7 million
but
viewers.
But then all of them went, nope.
Nope. Not going to watch it next week.
I think it lasted for a season or two, but it certainly is not memorable today. But here's my question for you. If it says there, what game was 2010?
Meaning was it a great game and everybody stayed until the end?
Yeah, was it a great game and everybody stuck around in the end? Exactly, which has a lot to do with how many people see that post-game show.
I'm gonna look that up.
Yeah, we'll have to
get back to research.
Mm-hmm. Do some research on that one.
It is weird that they're doing talk shows this year, though, because they almost always. I mean, look, Colbert and Corden. You're right. Not everybody has sampled them, but at least they're getting a lot of promotion on the network. They're known entities for most, mm-hmm. you know, for many people. Usually, they take the opportunity to debut a brand new show, mm-hmm. you know, or something that's very, very new to try to get eyeballs on. I mean, that's where The Blacklist came from, and some other shows that have premiered late, you know, late after the Super Bowl. That's interesting.
It is interesting. I feel like Jimmy always did a post Super Bowl show. No,
He's on ABC.
He's on ABC.
So he does shows after like the NBA finals. He does that all the time. They do an earlier show. Yeah, he does that all the time. But the Super Bowl is, I think, another step up,
whole other ball game.
Yep,
because it is literally all these stars were born on today, November the 12th. Megan Mullally is 57. Actor, why is she not getting a bell, Bean?
Because I've seen her. She's a very talented lady.
You are a horrible man.
We love her.
Actor Ryan Gosling is 35. Actress Anne Hathaway is 33. Okay.
Just move on.
UFC Octagon girl Ariane Celeste is 30. Megan Mullally, 57. Oh, there's her bell. Oh. I'm Allie McKay in for Ralph Garman, walking the show with speed.
Better Call Saul star Bob Odenkirk joins us in minutes here on the Kevin and Bean Show on the world famous K-Rock. Man, I missed that show. Man, that first season of that show was so good.
Yep. It's out on Blu-ray, which is fantastic.
Yeah, talk to Bob coming up in just 3 minutes. Ralph got to the story near the end of the show yesterday. I think it deserves a little bit more explanation and discussion, which is the outrage over Justin Bieber wearing a Metallica t-shirt. He was on, the Ellen Show? Is that right?
The Ellen Show.
And he's wearing a Metallica t-shirt. And a lot of people took serious and sincere offense, tweeting things like, Justin Bieber isn't allowed to wear Metallica shirts. Just no. If Justin Bieber can stop wearing Metallica shirts, that'd be great. Sincerely, those of us who listen to real music. Why is Justin Bieber wearing a Metallica shirt? He probably hasn't even heard one song. So a lot of people were outraged because, I think a lot of people are outraged about anything that Bieber does just because they hate Bieber. So they're coming at it from that point. And if it had been a celebrity that they liked who was wearing a Metallica shirt, they probably wouldn't have even questioned it.
Well, I guess, but in this case, his music is sort of... Feels like the opposite of Metallica?
It does.
So maybe that's why it rubs.
He doesn't strike me as a metalhead either.
Right.
But the question, the bigger question, even beyond Bieber, is should you be required to be a fan of something to wear it on your shirt? Or can you just choose something because you like the way it looks from a fashion perspective? For instance, Allie, would it bother you if somebody you knew was wearing a Star Wars t-shirt who didn't care anything about Star Wars?
No.
You would kill them.
I would. But for the sake of this argument.
So let's be honest here. Because Bieber wearing a Metallica shirt for fashion would be the same as your friend who doesn't even like science fiction, has never seen a Star Wars movie, wearing a Star Wars shirt. Would it bother you if somebody did that?
You know, in all honesty, no.
Because what if you have to guess if he's wearing it for fashion or not, and you know mm-hmm. he doesn't like the Star Wars? I mean, doesn't that... Because I think that's what we're assuming with Bieber. Is that there's no way he likes Metallica. Let's
be honest. He also showed up with a Nirvana shirt recently as well. And it seems it's possible there are 20s, you know, people in their 20s who discover Nirvana and love Nirvana. It's possible he likes Nirvana. I think it's highly unlikely. I think he's doing it because he thinks it looks cool. And I think that's what a lot of people think, and that's why it bugs him so much. So we thought it'd be interesting to hear from you, the Kevin and Bean listener, at 1-800-520-1067. Do you think that somebody should be a fan of the thing that they're wearing on their shirt, or does it not matter because it's just like, hey, I wore it because it was polka dots, or I wore it because it was plaid, and it went with my outfit? You know what I mean? Does it not matter what the thing is?
Do you think the majority of people that wear Yankees hats love the Yankees?
That's the biggest offender, right?
I think
right?
That's just, it's the symbol, it's very recognizable, it's a good-looking hat, it's simple, whatever.
I don't think all of them like the Yankees,
no.
There are a lot of people who rock that hat that don't care, even about baseball, right. Probably.
That is a classic logo.
Right.
To me, if you're wearing a Yankees cap, I think it's like wearing a hat with the Apple logo on it. It's just, you know, or Harley Davidson, for instance. A lot of people wear a Harley Davidson t-shirt. They don't ride a motorcycle, but they like the idea or the image of Harley Davidson. Is that okay?
Well, no. Wait, is that what we're saying?
No, look, there's no right or wrong answer.
On this?
There's no right or wrong answer. Look, it's completely subjective. I think it would have to do a lot with what, if you know that person, what else you know about that person, whether it rubs you the wrong way. And I think these people are complaining about Bieber. Like I said, I think they're looking for things to get mad at Bieber about.
I say wear what you like. If it looks good, makes you feel good, wear it. why are we concerned?
Or not really concerned.
Why are you so concerned, Kevin?
But Bieber, why? The Metallica fans are the ones that just went crazy on him.
Yes. Yeah.
Just they couldn't take that he was on Ellen wearing that shirt. It just, to them, it rubbed them the wrong way.
And I think Bean's right. It's mostly because it's Bieber. If it wasn't him, people would be like, whatever. But it's him, and you want to hate him.
If it wasn't him and his music, though, maybe you would go, hey, maybe he likes them, and you would give him the benefit of the doubt. Maybe.
You know what this is, Kevin? This is when you or I are arguing something, and we realize Beer Mug is on our side. And we go, no! Yeah. I don't want to be on the same side as Beer Mug. I think Metallica fans are like, no, if Bieber's a Metallica fan, and I'm a Metallica fan, then I have something in common with Bieber, and I don't want that to happen.
And the world will end.
And the world will end.
Right.
So let's see what you say at 1-800-520-1067. Don't forget, you can, if you can't call, you can always text the Kevin and Bean Show anytime at the number 2-K-R-O-Q. That's 25767. Let's start with Trisha. She's got an interesting story. She's in Riverside, and she is on line 2, and she is up first on this topic on K-Rock. Hi, Trisha.
Hi.
So your feelings on this?
Yeah, you can't wear the shirt.
Can't wear the shirt.
At all. No, not at all.
All right. And you sound like you're coming from personal experience on this one.
Yeah, my kids, they listen to punk rock music, and my husband's, you know, into punk rock, and they're not allowed to wear a t-shirt unless they've owned the album and have listened to it and know, like, who the original drummer of the band was.
USA!
So,
USA!
That's right. Your husband is doing the right thing.
That is hardcore. Yeah. So let me get this straight. So if your kids say, ooh, I want a Clash shirt, your husband would say, nope, can't have a Clash shirt until you listen to London Calling and are able to sing some of the songs.
Well, actually, my kids have plenty of Clash shirts, and they know every single album, and they know the history of Joe Strummer and the whole band. And
wow.
Yeah. Yeah, right. And my kids get shirt shamed all the time with people going, oh, you listen to Black Flag. Do you know who this is? And my kids are like, really, dude? We know who they are. So, yeah.
Shirt shaming. That's real.
I didn't know shirt shaming was a thing.
I didn't either. Wow.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
All right. All right, Trisha. Appreciate the call. Thanks so much. Let's go to Liz. She's in L.A. She's up next, line 1. Hi, Liz. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on with this shirt shaming?
Well, look, this totally affects me because I'm a high school teacher. And I see my students wearing Nirvana t-shirts and WTF people. I ask the kids, okay, Nate, give me one song. What's your favorite song? On purpose, because they just do it because they sell it at JCPenney's now.
And then you fail them. Right?
You sent to the principal's office.
So Liz, this is really interesting. You're a smart lady. You're a teacher. Why does it bother you so much if somebody wears a t-shirt just because they think it looks good, even if they don't know the band?
Because that is history to us. That, I mean,
that's history.
Some of us lost our V card to their music. Some of us, you know.
I hope you explain that at length to your class.
Yeah.
Well, you know, we have history with the music, and you can't just. I mean, I also see kids with the Misfits t-shirts,
right.
And I don't even bother asking them because I know it's just the look. Uh-huh. But and I also don't have a personal connection to that type of music. But, yes, Nirvana and the Red Hot Chili Peppers, you better know us all.
Okay. All right. That's what – look, Liz is a teacher. She's allowed to lay down the rules.
She'll kick you right out of school, people.
Exactly. Thank you for the call. All right. 1-800-520-1067. Still time for you to weigh in on this. By the way, Allie tweets us at Kevin and Bean, wearing a shirt just for fashion is being a total poser. Same goes for those who wear sports gear just for the colors. By the way, you can find pictures of Snoop Dogg, for instance, in almost every jersey in the NFL. He always claims that he's a Raiders fan and a Steelers fan. I've seen him in 49ers jerseys. I've seen him in all sorts of Dolphins jerseys.
I feel like he's the exception to every rule.
What about
anything he wears looks cool?
If Snoop does it, it's cool.
What about Drake? Any team that's in the playoffs, he's wearing their gear.
That's true.
Yeah, that seems annoying to me.
I don't know.
Bouncing around bandwagon fan.
It's hard for me to understand that because I won't wear a shirt of a team that I'm not supporting.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? That doesn't even come into my mind.
No.
All right. Quick break. We'll take your calls when we return right after this on K-Rock. Next hour, I'll give you a chance to see that band live in concert tomorrow night at the Belasco Theater. We're talking about Coldplay, but it's going to be painful. Very, very difficult game to win.
coming up. Game, very difficult game to listen to, much less to win. Talking about Justin Bieber, recent appearance on the Ellen TV show wearing a Metallica t-shirt has a lot of people just all a lather over it. Why is Justin Bieber wearing a Metallica t-shirt? He can't possibly know who they are. He can't possibly be a fan. Adrian writes in from the 909. I think the question we are all missing is, why is a Metallica fan watching Ellen? Well, that's a really good question. And we're also talking about, you know, not just Justin and Metallica, but the bigger issue. Is it okay to wear a shirt of something that you are not a fan of just because you think it looks good or because it's hip or because it's a nice fashion accessory? So we're taking some calls at 1-800-520-1067. Let's go to Michelle. She's up first in Southgate. She's on line one. I think she's got an opinion we haven't heard yet.
I got Tammy on line one.
I'm sorry, line seven. My error. Okay. Line seven. I apologize.
All right. Hi, Michelle.
How you doing today?
Good, thank you.
Thanks for holding on. What's going on? What are you saying? What do you think?
I think it's okay for him to wear whatever he wears. I mean, quite honestly, like I told you, the person who answered the phone, my daughter listens to you guys religiously, goes to all of the events, goes to all the concerts, she listens to All Time Low, all those bands. You know what? I think the kid is a douche. He really is.
You're calling your own kid a douche?
No, Justin Bieber.
I think Justin Bieber is a douche, but she's going to his release party tomorrow night at the Staples Center. And
all right.
Why is she going? Because I don't know, the kid is appealing to kids, but
so you're
why
fine
is she making such a big deal about the shirt?
You're fine.
I love Metallica.
Look,
I don't wear their shirts, but
I feel like Beaton was right when he said, if you know or like the person, it makes a big difference.
Absolutely.
Like we do come at Justin Bieber from a negative viewpoint. Lamorne Morris just tweeted us that he's wearing a Yankees hat. And so I gave him the new girl exception.
So you let it pass because you like him.
Because you like him, right?
But think about how much more attractive he'd be in a Red Sox hat. I mean, think about that.
I don't think those are the choices.
No.
No.
Oh.
Michelle, thank you for the call. We appreciate that. Let's go to Joey. He's in Whittier. He's on line three. He's going deep here. He thinks he knows why people wear stuff they're not fans of.
Okay. Hey, Joey.
Hey, what's up, guys? How's it going?
Good. Thank you. Explain this to us.
All right. So, first of all, when the people who are listening to Metallica, which is, I'm one of them, big metalhead, big punk guy. I mean, I kind of listen to everything. But anyway, these are the people that have been excluded most of their lives from most of the popular things. And so they started acting out, angst-ridden teenagers, listening to loud music and all that kind of stuff. And so when someone who's popular, someone who doesn't have trouble getting into anything that they want to get into, starts wearing what they assume is their brand, they get protective. They go, well, why I was excluded? Why aren't you being excluded? Why are you allowed to wear this? And I'm wearing this, and this is mine.
This is ours. You're not welcome here.
Because you earned it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's the same reason, like, why fanboys, like, big fanboy too, love Star Wars, love comic books, been reading comics my whole life. It's the same reason why they get protective when people start wearing Avengers t-shirts. Like, whoa, you just watched the movie 3 years ago. I've been reading this for 150 years.
That's interesting.
Who are you to start listening? Yeah.
How are you reading anything for 150 years?
Not literally, Kevin.
Not literally, Kevin.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Sorry.
That is a very, very smart take on that, Joey. You sound too intelligent to be
right?
listening to
Joey went deep there.
We're happy to have you.
I mean, the real thing is here, honestly, everyone should be allowed to wear any t-shirt they want.
Except for Bieber.
Well, I mean, honestly, how much metal cred does even Metallica have at this point, ever since they got those Party of Five haircuts like 20 years ago?
Turned on his own.
They're still legit. All right. Thank you for the call. Carlos writes in. Let me see if this changes your mind, guys. He says it's as bad as someone wearing military gear, like someone having a United States Marine Corps shirt when they never served. That person deserves a slap across the face, I think. Now, could you wear a Marine Corps shirt as a tribute to the Marines?
As a sign of support? Yeah. Not a uniform, not Stolen Valor, but just a t-shirt.
I don't know. That's
weird.
Yeah,
honoring them.
Here's Robert who writes in. He says, regarding Drake wearing bandwagon jerseys, Bieber does the same thing. Of course, it's a bad move. I think wearing a band's shirt when you aren't really a fan is disrespectful to the artist, as you're reducing them to a little bit more than a trademark. I'm kind of all for the idea that you should have to shop directly from the band rather than the merchandise being offered at every retail outlet on the planet. What about when a musical performer comes to town, Kevin, and wears that city's jersey at the concert?
Obviously, it always feels like it's pandering.
It is Panera. I mean, it is Panera. It's like, hey, look how awesome I am, right? I'm a Royals fan tonight
how because
I'm
in Kansas team, City. Everybody, huh?
Here's the thing: if you're in a band and you're releasing your band's name to Hot Topic, that's on you. And kids are buying it. Maybe that's on you, not really on the kids.
No, but Bean's saying, what if when the band comes to town, they wear the local jersey? The band does to pander to the crowd.
What about them? I mean, should they not be allowed to wear it? Like, let's say you're in the Red Hot Chili Peppers and you're in Chicago, and you know Flea comes out in a Bulls jersey. Is that okay? He's not a Bulls fan, obviously. He's a Lakers fan. If he does that, is that okay because he's in Chicago?
Or it's
is that
okay a because he's Flea.
All right, so the takeaway, we're out of time because we've got Bob Odenkirk next. The takeaway, Bieber needs to be deported, right?
I think that's it.
I think that's it.
By the way, just one quick PS on our topic about wearing things that you are not even a fan of just because they look good. I will say I have multiple messages here warning you that if you wear Harley Davidson gear and you do not ride a Harley Davidson, you will have your ass kicked by people who do wear Harley Davidson gear.
If you wear Harley gear and you're on a Honda, screw you. You're going down.
So, apparently, reasonable people could disagree about whether it's okay to wear a band shirt or a sports team, but Harley Davidson, that's strictly for Harley riders. We have been informed. So now that's a bit of warning for you here on the Kevin and Bean Show. All right, very excited to catch up with our old friend Bob Odenkirk. Last time we had him in was right before Better Call Saul debuted, which, of course, was one of the surprises of the last TV season. It was so, so good, and it is now available for everyone on Blu-ray, DVD, and download. Mr. Odenkirk, welcome back to the show, sir. How are you?
I'm great. Good to talk to you. I'm glad you like Better Call Saul. I'm glad people liked it in general.
People loved it, and look, as nervous as we are about screwing with the legacy of Breaking Bad, you must have been that times 100 going, what the hell am I doing being Saul again?
Yeah. Well, look, I didn't really think of it until the billboards went up, which was a little late in the game, but I honestly didn't. I think I've been in TV for a long time, you guys know, and I've done so many things that never even made it to air. And I'm just so used to doing projects and having them fly under the radar. I don't know why I thought this one somehow was the same thing. But when the billboards went up, I was like, oh, right. Everyone's going to check it out at least.
You have something in you that still says, I'm going to fly under the radar and nobody's going to watch this show?
Yes, absolutely.
You're damaged.
20 years. Hey, buddy, 20 years of getting, you know, punched in the face. Well, you just get used to getting punched in the face, and you just kind of think it's just going to happen again. But it's, so seriously, when the billboards went up, I started to sweat and go, oh, my God, what if they just hate me for even trying? Really, I thought, you know, what you're saying there, which is that when anybody does something built out of something that they love, they just can't help but think, it's not going to make me happy. It's kind of using my love for this other thing. But I think what Vince Gilligan and Peter Gould, who created Better Call Saul, did, and Vince created Breaking Bad, was, you know, they just really tried to create a new show with a different vibe, and they got, you know, fully immersed in it. So, it's its own thing. Anyway, I'm thrilled that you guys and the general audience were kind enough to give us a chance. It was an honest effort.
Are you already shooting season two? Or have you shot it?
We finished 4 days ago.
4 days ago.
Wow. Oh.
Yeah. I was in Albuquerque until 4 days ago. And so now I'm back in beautiful L.A.
Albuquerque
is nice. People laugh when I say Albuquerque is nice, but...
you've spent a lot of time in New Mexico over the last few years. I mean, I imagine at this point you're pretty comfortable with it. How do the people in New Mexico feel about Hollywood being there?
Thrilled. They are not like L.A. people. Hollywood hates that Hollywood's here, as you know.
Right.
You live here and you see filming going on the street, everyone is mad because everybody's in the business and it's not special and it just makes them angry at the inconvenience of it all. But in Albuquerque, the people are thrilled to have any attention. They like the business and the money that it brings, and they're genuinely, like, you know, happy. Please film here. Come back again. And they mean it, you know. So for that reason, it's a great place to shoot. There's like, you know, listen, man, I'm going to make a movie here in L.A., and we can't get like a diner because everybody here is so jaded and they want so much money. But in Albuquerque, you know, you can get all these great classic American locations, and they're happy to have you, and they're happy to have the work and the business and the attention.
So, they would give you a diner for 6 months if you wanted it.
They would. You can have that booth over in the corner and just shoot there for months.
The only guy who might not be crazy about Breaking Bad being in New Mexico is that guy who owns the house that they use as Walter White's house, and people still keep coming by and throwing pizzas up on the roof.
Pizzas daily, these poor people.
It's actually an elderly lady. I know. It's so wrong. Vince Gilligan has put out the word, please, everyone, stop throwing pizzas.
What a weird world we live in where you have to tell people to stop throwing pizzas on the roof.
The show is called Better Call Saul. Season 1 Special Collector's Edition is available now. It's for sale. DVD, Blu-ray, download, the whole deal. Real quick before we move on, Bob, I want to ask. I know these days with Blu-rays and DVDs, there's so much stuff that gets filmed along the way, so many extra features. What kind of stuff did you contribute to this set?
I'm clueless as to the story, so I didn't help anybody with what happened because I only read my part and I'm never paying attention.
Same.
Let me see.
I'm talking about like special features on the release, the home release, in terms of you know, bloopers and outtakes and interviews and commentary tracks and that sort of thing.
If you want to see me swearing, you got.
I do love that.
You got no problem. You got like 3 minutes of me swearing. There's so many extras. There's so many extras with lots of interviews with everybody and behind-the-scenes footage. And, you know, they're really good at this now. And they make a documentary about the making of the show, and it's informative. And it's just really – it's loaded with stuff.
Oh, that's great.
It looks great, and it's well worth it.
That's cool. All right, before you go, how about a quick plug for why we should be watching our Netflix tomorrow? The big day is finally here for fans of you and Mr. Cross.
Yes, yes, yes.
Well, you guys know we were working doing Mr. Show, and you guys are on the air. I can't believe we're all still viable.
Yeah, we're close to death.
We're close to death. There's priests hanging around outside the door.
Is this one of those things that people never stopped bringing up from day one?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, everybody who's a fan of Mr. Show wanted David Cross and I to do more sketches. And honestly, we did not know what this show would look like or be like. We knew we wanted to do sketch comedy. So we were very surprised that as many cast members came back. So we never intended to do a Mr. Show reunion because we just wanted to do new comedy. And we did do new comedy. There's no, like, old characters or any rehashed anything. But if you like Mr. Show, all those old people are back, and they're now old. And, and if you didn't know Mr. Show, it doesn't matter remotely. It's just a bunch of very, very silly stuff, and hopefully it'll make you happy for an hour and a half.
This show is called With Bob and David, and it's on Netflix tomorrow.
Yeah, definitely check that out. And Better Call Saul Season 1 Special Collector's Edition is available everywhere now. Bob, we love you. It's always great to get a chance to spend a few minutes with you on The Kevin and Bean Show. Continued success, my friend.
Thanks. Thanks to you guys.
Thank you, Bob. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 7:54.
We'll talk sports with our friend Jim Rome coming up just after 8 here on K-Rock. Allie's in for Ralph Garman on the Showbiz Beat on a Thursday. What's going on?
All right. Remember last hour we talked about CBS having the Super Bowl this year. They're going to put on Stephen Colbert as well as James Corden afterwards, get some eyeballs on those two shows.
Do we know who the Patriots are playing yet? Has that been determined or no?
You are delightful. Thank you.
I know that's what you were thinking.
No,
I wonder. Hey, the Super Bowl's coming up. I wonder who the Patriots are going to be playing.
I wasn't even thinking that. Still early in the season. But we did mention that the most watched post-Super Bowl telecast was in 2010. That was the Saints playing the Colts. And the show was Undercover Boss. And that show averaged 38.7 million viewers. And then
I bet I haven't thought about that show since the night of the Super Bowl.
And none of us had, because we all said, what happened to that show? It's not even on. Well, yeah, it's on its sixth season. So we are dumb, all of us.
Wait, still
that show is still on?
It's still on. So congratulations, Undercover
Boss.
Imagine
working on that show and listening to our dumbasses talk about how it's been gone through.
And then I thought about it. I'm like, oh, my mom and dad watch that. They totally
now,
do.
Is that the one where the guy who owns like a Subway franchise
yeah,
can pretend to
works.
Be an employee
yes.
and work the line and then
it's
find out?
It's a great show.
It's the boss that goes undercover.
Right. It is right there in the title.
Okay,
but it is indeed still on. So apologies.
Wrong.
No, it is.
Okay.
We looked it up.
Wrong.
Okay, still there. All right, we were just talking to Bob Odenkirk. I don't know if you knew this, but the guys from Breaking Bad, Bryan Cranston and Aaron Paul, just dropped some stuff off at the Smithsonian.
Yeah.
Yeah. They brought a pork pie hat, two baggies of meth, fake. Of course, and a pair of hazmat suits and gas masks that were worn during the series. How cool is that, that you get to drop stuff off at the Smithsonian?
Yeah,
that is cool. I don't think I've been to the Smithsonian. Where do they put that? Do they have an entertainment section?
Oh, sure.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, they do.
Yeah. You know what else you can find there?
What?
Go ahead, Bean.
I was just going to mention the Smithsonian is in multiple buildings all over Washington. I mean, it's the largest museum in the world. I mean, it's millions of square feet. So they have whatever, you know, they have lots of different museums for lots of different things. And yeah, they do have one that's dedicated to, you know, to this sort of thing.
You can find Archie Bunker's chair,
mm-hmm. okay.
Fonzie's jacket, Dorothy's shoes from The Wizard of Oz. But my favorite, Jerry Seinfeld's puffy shirt. How great is that? Oh, I just love all of that. Who watches Big Bang Theory?
Most of America.
Right. Well, guess what? You're going to see Bob Newhart coming back for a guest appearance. He's going to be on the December 17th episode. For fans of the show, they will know that he has been Sheldon's childhood hero. But he's going to come back as a ghostly Jedi in Sheldon's dreams to help him sort some of his feelings.
What's
and make
the date? Did you say the 17th?
Important decision. December 17th.
Yeah.
Weird timing, right?
Well, I don't know that it's weird more
than
weird
they at all.
Did it on purpose.
Yeah.
Because Star Wars comes out the next day.
Oh, it does?
Yes.
Oh, see, that's weird because I'm seeing it on the 17th at 7 p.m.
Okay,
at the ArcLight.
That night. All right.
Yeah. Taylor Swift fans
Die.
Can breathe
right here.
A
right
sigh
here.
Of relief.
That's what I meant.
Do you guys remember that copyright lawsuit? It was a man that said 92% of Taylor Swift's song, Shake It Off, came from his song.
Yes, and I support him.
Right? Mm-hmm. Especially when you heard the song.
Right.
Taylor's gone. Taylor's gone. Taylor's gone. Taylor's gone.
And that's Ray Charles?
That is Jesse Brom.
Oh.
And no, sir, your song sounds nothing like Shake It Off. But here's where it gets weird, because it was dismissed. The case was dismissed. But the judge, this is what she said in court. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
At present, the court is not saying that Brom can never, ever, ever get his case back in court. But for now, we have got problems, and the court is not sure Brom can solve them. She's quoting Taylor Swift as she dismissed the case.
Is that...
What? That's not acceptable, right?
So what? What? Well, are you sure?
It's a quote, and it's on CNN. Huh.
I will say that it does make her sound not unbiased, I'll tell you that.
Right?
I mean, for her to do that makes it sound like she's a Taylor Swift fan, so maybe... She
Maybe.
Was too close to that case to rule on it? I don't know. Having said that, I don't really think that song really sounds
it has
much
nothing
like
to do with it.
No.
Shake
let's,
it off, but
let's hear it
it's
again,
unusual.
Taylor's gone. Taylor's gone. Taylor's gone. Taylor's gone.
Does that guy own Players or Haters Gonna Hate and Players Gonna Play? Does he own those?
He apparently doesn't.
I mean, I think that's his argument, is that that's a major part of the lyrics of her song. But there have been lots of songs throughout the years, before and after his, that use the same words, too. So, I don't know. But that's funny about the judge.
It's weird. It's
weird.
Just all around weird. Well, we all heard this week about Daniel Fleetwood, the super fan that got to see The Force Awakens right before he passed away. Well, here's where I just say this guy is more of a Star Wars hero than I thought he was. He's going to go into eternity in a custom-made lightsaber urn. What? How great is that? His brother-in-law, he's an engineer, he's designing the urn as an exact replica of Darth Vader's weapon. Anyone?
Is it too late for you to get to him to ask him to make two?
Wow, that's, wow.
That was
one for Daniel Fleetwood and one for you, Allie. What did you guys think I meant?
That you want me to die?
Oh, there's nothing dark about that.
He just wants you to be prepared.
Mm-hmm. Well, Ashley, his wife, says the lightsaber is still under construction, but should be ready for his celebration of life on November 21st. But their backup plan, a ceramic Death Star urn. I mean, I love these people so much.
You should move in with them.
Well, he's...
They got a spare bedroom.
Yeah. Okay.
Sorry.
All of these stars were born today. On November the 12th, Ryan Gosling is 35. Actress Anne Hathaway is 33. UFC Octagon girl Ariana Celeste is 30. And Megan Mullally is 57. I'm Allie McKay, and for Ralph Garman, walking the showbiz beat.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 7 minutes after 8 o'clock.
Our favorite time of the week, CBS Sports Radio personality Jim Rome, the biggest name in the game. You can hear him all weekdays from 9 till noon on AM 980 The Beast, KFWB in Southern California. Hey, Romy, how are you, man?
My favorite radio show in the history of the world. Fellas, ladies, what's up?
Kind. Hey, you are very kind.
Love
that
show.
Great to talk to you. Wow, so much ground to cover, a lot of stuff we want to talk about. I guess we might as well start with Greg Hardy, who is a guy who does not know how to make an apology and move on in a positive way. What's the latest on our favorite Cowboy player?
This just in. Breaking news, Greg Hardy, still a very bad guy.
Yeah.
A very bad guy who still doesn't get it. So the latest is, not long after Deadspin dropped that gallery of 48 pictures of his then-girlfriend, battered and bruised, he's tweeting from the account at Overlord Kraken, and the bio reads in part, innocent until proven guilty, lack of knowledge and information is just ignorance, quote unquote. Like, great stuff, Socrates,
wow.
Except you were proven guilty by a judge in a court of law, and you only got over when his girlfriend decided not to cooperate with authorities. So just so we're clear on this, he beats her up, he throws her on a bed of guns, he threatens to kill her, we see all the pictures of the abuse, he's still playing in the NFL, yet somehow he's the victim. Still a bad guy.
Why are we not hearing, and I'm sure these people exist, but I'm not seeing them on the national media, why are we not hearing from Cowboys fans who are pressuring the team to do something about Greg Hardy?
If I had to venture a guess, it's because there aren't any, or there aren't very many of them. Hey, listen, you know how this goes. I mean, they follow the lead of their owner. Jerry Jones didn't care, and they don't either. They want to win. So you're not going to see Cowboy fans out there picketing and saying, hell no, we're not going to support this sort of thing. I mean, me, I don't want a wife beater on my team. I don't want to work alongside a guy who beats women. I don't want to know somebody like that. But you know how fans are, short for fanatic. They just want to win, and they think this guy's helping them.
Right. You know, I was also thinking about this, Jim, and forgive me if it's a little bit off topic. I mean, I'm not comfortable at all with him being a professional football player. I don't want to say this is a mistake. This is more than a mistake. This was a criminal, heinous act done by a guy who's obviously damaged and disturbed. But I would feel a lot better about him continuing to play if he were taking the Ray Rice route, which is where we felt he learned from his mistake. We felt like he was trying to give back to the community, that he was learning, that he was educating, that he was preaching, that he was apologizing. And he's not doing any of that. And
it makes remorse.
Remorse at all. It makes it impossible for us to move on and give him a second chance. I think people do deserve a second chance, but not if you haven't learned anything from your mistake.
No, 100%. I absolutely agree with that. I mean, most things... America is a forgiving nation, especially if you're a celebrity or an athlete. We will forgive almost anything at all if you just own it and you're accountable for it and you say you're sorry and you mean it. But he's not. He's not apologizing because this guy literally thinks he didn't do anything wrong. I just read the Twitter bio. Innocent until proven guilty. So he doesn't think he did anything wrong. He's not sorry for it. And you're right. That makes it so much worse.
All right, let's change our attention to basketball, a big game, a matchup a lot of people were looking forward to last night, Clippers versus Mavericks. It got a little bit heated because of the push and pull on DeAndre Jordan over the summer.
It's See, that's great. Now, that's something we can talk about that's positive.
Yep.
The fact that the Maverick fans hate DeAndre that much. You know, everybody talks about how regular season NBA games are a big waste of time. They don't matter. Nobody cares. That was as bitter a mid-November NBA game as I've ever seen. And everything full of them booing him every time he touched the ball, a whole night of DeAndre sucks chants. That was one of my favorite regular season games ever. Great theater. And I understand why they're mad, but not that mad.
I bet DeAndre wanted to win that game so bad, too. That must have been a really hard loss for him to take.
Yeah, he's kind of a laid-back guy. He probably did want to win that game, but what's it really matter? He stays in Los Angeles. He gets paid. He's on a team that's going to compete for an NBA championship. The Mavericks really aren't going anywhere. The guy didn't handle it well, but he made the right choice. He's on a team, I was going to say, that he plays a role that's got a chance to win it all, as opposed to going to a team he's got to carry by himself. That would not have worked out. He did the right thing.
I got to wonder what that does to a psyche of a player every time they touch the ball when you get booed by the entire place.
I think it depends on the player. Some guys just love that. They feed on it. They use it as fuel. Like Reggie Miller, he used to be that great villain. Yeah. He'd go to New York. They hated that guy.
Right.
And he just played better and better and better. You know, other people don't like people saying, you suck, we hate your guts, and they don't react as well to it. He got through it. You know, LeBron dealt with it. DeAndre dealt with it. Everybody gets it once in a while.
What did you think of Dallas's look continuing to troll DeAndre after the game by tweeting that series of emojis at him?
That was a brilliant tweet. I got to hand it
like
to their
it.
Honestly, I like it.
Ordinarily, why would we care about a Clippers-Mavericks game in the middle of November? I think it's awesome. I love it. I hope they keep it up. That does not bother me at all. That's good stuff. That's good stuff.
All right. Let's turn our attention now to the best sports story of the week, maybe of the year. Jim, for our listeners who aren't familiar with Ray-Ray Armstrong of the Oakland Raiders, what's up with him?
Maybe the best story ever. Ray-Ray Armstrong is under police investigation for taunting a canine unit right before the Steeler game. So dude reportedly talks smack to a police dog. Dude was talking junk to Bandit the German Shepherd. As the story goes, he lifted up his shirt, he pounded on his chest, and he hollered at the deputy holding the leash, "Send the dog. Send the dog."
What's
you know, like, come
him?
At me, Bandit. Let's do this.
What the hell?
I wonder if this cat turned his rings around before he said it.
Was he looking at me, Bandit?
You want some of this, Bandit? Yeah, that's what I thought, Bandit. That's what I thought, Bandit. Keep walking.
Now, Jim, was he barking as well? That was one report, was it that he was barking?
Yeah, I read the same report. I was not there, but it's one thing to talk junk to a dog, but don't do it unless you're going to bark at the dog. So
Was this at the stadium? Was this ahead of the Pittsburgh
game? Yes, okay. It was before the game. It was before
then
the game.
Then why is there no video of this?
Yeah, right? Somebody's got to have video, right? The police are involved. They've got to have a camera. I don't know why we have not seen the video. There's got to be some video. They're still investigating it. Jack Del Rio, the head coach of the Raiders, says, come on, man, this is all so silly. Yeah, maybe it is, maybe it's not, but I tend to believe that it's true. Things that I want to be true, I tend to believe are true.
But it's a felony, right?
A third-degree felony.
Oh, yes. Man. So not only is it moronic, it might also be a third-degree felony. Look, I don't know about you guys, but I'm not a drug guy. I don't condone it. I don't do it. Right. It's not me. But anytime I'm at the airport and I see one of those police dogs, I'm immediately paranoid like I'm packing drugs.
Right. They're terrifying dogs.
Right? This guy may have been on drugs.
Yeah.
Dude, you're a Raider player. Even a Raider fan would not try to fight a police dog.
Yeah, that's right. And we were laughing about this earlier, Jim, on the show. We were talking about how you have the worst story compared to all the other things that Raiders have probably been to jail for. If you end up getting knocked for a police dog.
I don't know. I'm changing my mind on this one because I think he goes into jail and people go, what are you here for? And he goes barking at a police dog and they go, that's fine with me.
You're like he's nuts. Got cred.
Yeah.
Like there are certain crimes that you do not want to commit and then have to go to the hole for because – it's just not respected, and it could really create problems for you. You think this guy would be the guy. Like,
he walks in, head held high. I think everybody else would go, all right, whatever, man.
Like, yo, man, you play for the Raiders. Normally, it'd be like, are you an idiot? You play for the Raiders. What are you doing in here? They take offense, and like, they don't even care that he's a pro football player. Like, you're the dude who talked junk to the dog. Bring it in, man. Yeah. Bring it in.
They do say that that's a good strategy when you go to prison is make everybody know you're crazy on the first day so they don't give you any trouble. They stay away from you. So I think you got half your work done before you walk through the doors.
Can you imagine if they let that dog go? What if they let the dog go?
That would have been even a better story.
Yeah, no kidding. That is a great stuff. We'll keep our eyes on Ray Ray Armstrong to find out what happens. Jim Rome's going to be, of course, on AM 980 The Beast starting at 9 o'clock this morning. 3 full hours of Jim Rome, and look for him on Showtime as well. Great talk, as always. We'll do it again next week, sir. Thank you.
You guys are legends. Peace.
Thank you, Jim. Wake up, you need to make
money. Yep. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 24 minutes after 8 o'clock.
Do you feel like you pulled off the yep?
Yeah. I do.
Okay.
Yeah. That went
How about
well.
A pair of tickets to the private K-Rock show with the band Coldplay? It is going to be tomorrow night. You have not been able to buy tickets to the show. You can only win them from K-Rock, and you can win them from K-Rock right now at 1-800-520-1067. We're looking for Coldplay fans. You know their songs. I'm going to warn you, though, this is barely going to be worth it. as great as it's going to be to win tickets to see Coldplay, it's barely going to be worth it for what you're going to have to go through to get them.
In the short term, that's true. Mm-hmm. But when you're there, you're going to love it.
Yeah, yeah. You'll be able to forget the pain that we put on you. All right. So call now. Your chance to win Coldplay tickets coming up. First, though, how about a brand new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup?
Wake up, and watch the Internet Roundup.
Yeah.
Hey, producer Dave, the King of Mexico. How are you, my friend?
What's up?
Good batch this time.
Love
this
it.
Guy is fishing, spear fishing. So he's in the water and he's got a camera. You'll hear him screaming at the top of his lungs as he catches a fish. And this giant, what's it called?
A grouper.
Grouper. It's a 9-foot, 800-pound fish. Comes out of nowhere and steals the fish off of his spear. Listen to how ticked off this fisherman is.
What the hell?
Kevin, he's screaming at that fish.
Kevin, you're a diver. Have you ever seen a grouper in the ocean?
No, I haven't.
Those are the one fish that I do not want to meet.
No, I don't want to meet
because I've seen a grouper eat a shark.
What?
Yeah.
I saw a shark once and almost peed my pants.
Ugh.
So scary, but the grouper.
They, groupers, it's like running into a hippopotamus, though.
Yeah.
You just can't believe how big those things are.
Ooh. All right. This guy has a series of videos where he does things with machines, and in this case, he's got a jet engine on a flatbed truck. And I don't know why he decided to do this, but he basically staples a Tickle Me Elmo up to a telephone pole and pulls a jet engine up next to it and fires that sucker up. And I don't know what the temperature is of a jet engine.
Hot.
But
it's too hot.
It basically incinerates Tickle Me Elmo. It's very terrifying. Make sure the little ones don't see this video.
Holy f***.
I was just waiting for the truck to take off. I was just waiting for it to just lose it.
Hey, Elmo, how did that feel?
Yeah, you see Elmo, and Elmo just is incinerated.
Yeah,
it's actually kind of terrifying. I'm not generally a big fan of these eating challenges on video where people eat as much food as they can, but this one is a model, and she weighs about 90 pounds, and it's insane how much she puts away. This is the latest in a series of videos, and this time she eats, Beer Mug, you're going to love this so much, 27 Reese's Peanut Butter Cups in a minute and a half. Picture that. Think about that. Think about how you feel after you eat 2 Reese's peanut butter
seconds,
cups.
Yeah.
She ate 27 of them. Here's a little bit of the tape.
Reese's peanut butter cups? I'm about to see how many I can do in 100 seconds.
3, 2.
All right, so that was 27 Reese's peanut butter cups done in 100 seconds.
She sounds perfectly fine.
Yes, that's the crazy thing.
And then she ate one after.
Affected her at all. Yes.
She's the best. Too, with her. She is a beautiful young lady. Do this as long as you can, because once your metabolism doesn't allow you to, you're screwed. Enjoy it for as long as you can.
In this week's challenge, she ate, I think it was like 20-something Big Macs in an hour.
Oh, good Lord.
Wow.
She's incredible.
All right, Kevin, I know this is your favorite video on the Roundup this week. Why don't you tell us about it?
This, the parents were watching Star Wars. Which one was it? Is The Empire Strikes Back?
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
And they were watching with their 2-year-old, and then they put their 2-year-old to bed, and then they were watching the little baby monitor, and the 2-year-old started singing this. Come on.
I love her so much.
Come on. That's terrible.
What?
It's
stupid
kid was
way off.
She was way off.
You're missing the point, Dave.
You might be missing the point.
that your response?
Our honest trailers friends are back with an honest teaser. This time they took on The Force Awakens, the new Star Wars film that comes out next month. And they have a guy who's doing a great Harrison Ford impression who's narrating.
Some new nerd's directing now, and this looks awesome. Hey, remember those things? TIE fighters are still cool, right? Who's that guy? He looks bad. I bet it's giving you goosebumps right about now. We could show you 2 hours of a monkey washing a cat, and you'd still go see this movie. Twice.
Well, he's probably right.
It's true.
By the way, everything you've ever, anything fan-made you've seen about Star Wars, they always include lots of Jar Jar, and this one is no exception. Episode one of a new series I think is going to be fun called Cholo's Try. This is where they take guys that just look like they're straight out of, you know, Compton gangs. They're all tatted up and you know, bald head and everything, and they're giving them foods like kale that they've never tried before to see what their impressions are, and they've got some hilarious reactions.
Yeah.
This is chips?
This looks like blood.
Yeah, like you trying to get me arrested. I'm not taking
I'm on parole, G.
Is this weed, though? I feel like I'm getting high.
Kombucha?
This is like some chloroform, isn't it?
Didn't they have a thing on them on the National Geographic, the kombucha? There was a tribe or something?
This is organic, so, and raw.
Well, I'm organic and raw.
I'm organic and raw.
Yeah, bud is a slang for weed, okay, whiteys? Just wanted
to
know that.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dave.
Really?
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
And go Raiders. With the success of America's number one film, Spectre, we got some great James Bond videos in this week's Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup. And the first one is a supercut of all the times that James Bond has proven that he is a terrible employee.
Are you paying attention, 007?
Pay attention, 007.
Grow up, 007.
You've only got 4 days, 007. Don't spend your time sitting around.
Try to be a little less than your usual frivolous self, 007.
And 007, try not to muck it up again.
I didn't realize they all hated 007.
Well, who knew?
He's a rogue agent.
He's tough. And finally, on this edition of Kevin Abede's Internet Roundup, Donald Trump is back, and our friends the Gregory Brothers are back. You know they can take anything and songify it and make it something you want to dance to, and this time they did it to Donald Trump. I think this is from one of the debates, right, Dave, where they took this from? And
yeah.
It's a great video of him singing and dancing, once again proving why he will be a great U.S. president.
I love Mexicans, they're rapists. We used to win, we don't win anymore. We're gonna build a wall with a big fat door. I'm keeping talented people here. Will you get your asses in gear? Please do me a favor and let me win. We will make America great again.
He's a good dancer.
He is. It's a great batch. You can see all these videos and so much more, including the latest Jimmy Kimmel mean tweets that's very funny. Go to KROQ.com or KevinAbean.com for the Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup.
Wake up, and watch the Internet Roundup.
Yeah.
We apologize for what you were about to hear, but we are giving away tickets to a Coldplay fan. The private K-Rock show is going to be tomorrow night at the Belasco Theater, 1-800-520-1067. The game, unfortunately, is called Omaroki.
Omaroki as a singer, Omar's really lame. So we wish you luck, because he sucks. If you guess, you win the game.
All right, the callers are on the line. They're
listen,
all
listen,
fans.
Listen.
What?
Listen. We don't have to do it.
No, we're saying we want to give away some tickets.
We want to do it.
But we don't have to do it.
But they're Coldplay fans.
I'll take off my headphones right now and walk out.
No.
What
we're saying
have to do
is
it. We don't have to do it.
No, we're saying try to make it.
Hey, if you
want to
increase your ratings, we'll do it. Okay? Because everybody loves it. The business line is ringing off the hook.
Okay, we didn't realize that. No one told us that.
Dude.
I'm just saying, try to sing it like the song. Make it sound like the Coldplay song you're singing so that the folks have an easier time of identifying it by title, okay?
That's all. I got you, man. I got you.
But you usually do some sort of weird jazz funk interpretation of every song. I'm saying make it sound like the song.
Don't be a hater.
Let's see how it goes.
All right, so Omar's going to be singing a Coldplay song. All you have to do is name it. Tell us the title of that Coldplay song. You go in the drawing, and someone will win tickets in about 5 minutes to the show tomorrow night.
All right, let's start with Robert in West Covina. Hi, Robert.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
We apologize in advance. Here's Omaroki.
Your skin, oh yeah, your skin and bones turn into something beautiful. You know I love you so. You know I love you
that's
so.
Right.
No,
you feel like that's
that was
enough
good.
To identify.
We felt good. All that's right, Robert, what Coldplay song is that?
Oh, my God. Good Lord, hold on.
hold on. What?
We're busy, by the way.
Are you calling Chris Martin? Yeah. Are you Googling? We need an answer.
No. Is it Richard with your head?
Sorry, out of time. We were looking for yellow this time.
Yeah, it didn't really sound like that at
listen,
all.
Listen.
Yeah. I'm saying it did.
I blame Robert for that one, by the way.
Let's go to Jake in Santa Clarita. Hi, Jake.
Hey, guys.
Welcome to Old Maroki. Here's your song.
Okay.
Nobody said it was easy. It's such a shame for us to part. Nobody said it was easy. No one ever said it would be this hard. Okay. Oh, take me back to the start.
That's enough. That's enough. Jake, what song?
That was beautiful. It was The Scientist.
It was The Scientist.
Thank you, Jake.
Nobody said
it. Oh, that's what it was supposed to sound like.
All right. He's in the drawing. Who's our next contestant?
Cynthia in Placentia. Hi.
Hi.
Welcome to Omaroki. Good luck.
All right. Thanks.
Lights go out and I can't be saved. Tides, I try to swim against. You put me down upon my knees. So I beg and plead, singing. Coming out, things unsaid. Shoot an apple off my head.
That's fine. Thank you, Ro. That's fine.
Trouble can't be named. Tigers watching to be tamed, singing.
I'm just going to fade him out.
What Coldplay song is that?
How about
Clock?
Yeah,
Clock's
here.
Oh, that's it. Okay, good.
Hold on. Right. I don't know why
I'll
I'm saying.
Oh, right now.
Will you? Let's
do another one. Let's go to Hazel in Los Angeles. Hi, Hazel.
Hi, good morning, Kevin and Bean.
Hi.
Hazel, did you call earlier this week to try to win these Coldplay tickets?
Yes, I did on Tuesday and every single day.
Okay. Aww. All right. Well, maybe today's your lucky day. I apologize that Omar's going to sing, but what Coldplay song is this?
When she was just a girl. She inspected the world, but it flew away from her reach, and the bullets catch in her teeth. Life goes on, it gets so heavy, the wheel breaks the butterfly.
All right,
every tear of waterfall.
Thank you, all right. Hazel, what song is that?
She closed her eyes!
Oh, my goodness. That's super easy. That's Paradise.
Paradise!
Yeah. Look, right. I'm comfortable just calling it here and drawing a winner. What do you guys think?
I feel like we've tortured one more would be good.
That's what I think. One more.
Oh, really? You want to do one
more?
Yeah,
I do.
Really? Is that what you're saying?
I was getting... Okay.
I don't know why you're doing this to us, but okay.
Maribel in La Puente. Hi. Hello.
Good morning.
Hi. Welcome to Omaroki. What?
Want to skip this next song?
Skip the next one. Okay. You don't like this next one?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Artistic.
Hello?
I have an artistic.
Yeah, we're here. We hear you.
I'm here.
We hear you.
Okay.
Hey, Allie, good choice going to one more.
You're welcome.
Okay.
Okay.
Right, here's Omar.
Oh, no. I see a spider web is tangled up with me, and I lost my head. The thought of all the stupid things I said.
You had never heard that original Coldplay song at all.
Have you ever heard that song?
You could have.
Do you know that song?
Pretty awesome.
What is it, Rebel?
It's Trouble.
Trouble.
Nicely done.
I see.
Okay. Okay, you don't get to sing along.
Pretty awesome.
All right, Maribel, you're on hold. Hazel,
let's
Cynthia,
do one
Jake.
More.
No, Jake as well. Only one will win tickets to the private K-Rock show tomorrow night at the Belasco Theater. Alan McKay is your winner, please.
Oh, Hazel.
Hazel won. Hazel.
Oh, my God.
It paid off. You won.
Oh, my God. Thank you, guys.
Well done. Enjoy the show.
Oh, Maroki, that's our game, and how much fun we had. Now you know that I didn't lie when I told you he was pretty bad.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 8:54. We'll catch up with our friend Dr. Drew Pinsky just after 9. And don't forget, even more Coldplay tickets still to come your way. First, though, Allie in for Rob with the Showbiz Beat on a Thursday. What's going on?
So you're in Godsmack, right?
Okay.
Imagine this.
All right, I'm in Godsmack.
You're
okay.
In Godsmack.
Wow, you're asking for a lot of imagination right now.
All right, good.
I can't picture me being in Godsmack. I got to be honest.
Picture it.
If that were my life today, it would be very different.
You are playing a show in Yakima, Washington.
Okay.
Those fans in Yakima know that you're a band from Lawrence, Massachusetts. So what do? They start chanting, Seahawks, Seahawks, to the band that they paid to see.
Yeah, that's the weird thing, is that they went to see a concert by Godsmack.
Yeah.
And paid for the ticket.
Yeah. And then they start trolling the band on stage.
Why?
And then starts yelling.
By the way, can I give this piece of advice?
Sure.
Don't troll the band if their team is the team that beat your team in the Super Bowl. Maybe you don't have a lot of room to troll them.
Yeah, and maybe not when you're 8-0 and the Seahawks are 4-4. So then they start yelling, F the Pats.
Well, that's a one we can get behind.
Get behind
that. That's just good American thinking.
The lead singer, and you can't have a more masshole name than Sully.
Sure.
Sully Erna decides, well, let's do something. So this was his response.
We're going to go undefeated this year, and you guys are not, because you can't, because you already lost a bunch of games. You lost a bunch of games. Seattle Seahawks. And they suck me into it. They suck me in 2015, yeah. See Seahawks. What did you say, big? I don't think so. Maybe little. Seattle Seahawks suck. Yeah! I like that song. I think I'm going to record that as soon as I get home tonight.
You let me know, Sully. I am buying it immediately.
How often
is that?
How often does a fight break out about sports between the band and the audience?
Yeah.
It's just bizarre all around.
That's awesome.
I have to tell you, I ordinarily would say that it would be ill-advised for the band to mock the local sports team if they're in concert. But it sounds like they deserved it.
They started it.
And it sounds like he won that round. I got to say, I give the points to Sully in this case.
You accept it?
I will allow it.
Okay.
Excellent. He then told them, settle down, you freaks, and went on with the show. I don't know. Godsmack just became my favorite
band.
That's
pretty strong.
There is one fan, by the way, Allie. I don't know if you saw this or not, who is I don't want to say he's a diehard Godsmack fan, but he has a Godsmack tattoo.
Oh.
And he says he is going to have it removed because he is also a diehard Seahawks fan, and he will not abide. So he's just got too much conflict going on in his little brain.
Oh, dear. What's wrong with your people up there,
What Bing? Is wrong with people up there?
I don't know.
You're all bad, though, right?
That's not what I'm saying at all.
I think that's, I will allow it.
Okay.
All right. Moving on. Nobody knows what's happening with the divorce of Gavin Rossdale and Gwen Stefani. Who cheated on whom? No one knows.
We don't even know if someone cheated on someone.
We do not. But according to Us Weekly, Gavin Rossdale was carrying on a torrid affair with the family nanny for 3 years. And Gwen found out because she discovered messages on the family iPad. Oops.
Hmm.
How can... you can't really say that and not be sued if it's not true, right? So
I don't know. I don't know. That's odd.
Yeah. Stop hiring hot nannies is what
Kevin
determined. Yeah.
Would you hire a hot nanny?
Yes.
Okay.
Would your wife allow you to hire a hot nanny?
She has.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Did you bang her?
All of them.
Wow.
Repeatedly.
Well.
At the same time.
But did you keep messages from them on your iPad?
I did not.
That's where you're smarter than Gavin Rossdale, apparently.
That took a turn that I didn't need it to, but.
Don't we need a couple of more nannies?
That was my question. And your wife's like, the kids are 18. I mean, seriously.
This is weird.
Hey, I tried to get Donna at one point to let us hire a Swedish au pair, and she pointed out we did not have children.
How
so
rude.
I lost that one. But I tried
again.
What is she uptight?
Right?
What is wrong with all of us?
A lot.
Yeah. So the American Music Awards, that will be November 22nd at the Microsoft Theater right here in LA. Jennifer Lopez is hosting. It'll be on ABC, and Coldplay has just been announced. They're going to do their new single, Adventures of a Lifetime. You can also see Macklemore and Ryan Lewis. They are doing a new song as well. We don't know yet what it is. And Gwen Stefani has been added to the lineup. She's going to do her new track, Used to Love You. So I say win.
Oh, my God. Really?
Yeah. Rodney?
It's not bad.
Is he into it? Rodney, do you like it?
Oh, and here are the monkeys.
They're not going to be there. Mm-mm. I mean, they could be announced. I'm not definitely saying they won't be there. But as of right now, no. No word from the monkeys.
Ah, hell.
I know. I know. But it's still worth a watch. I mean, Jennifer Lopez, right?
Thank God. You like girls? We like girls?
Mm-hmm. She is one. So you should watch.
That'd be amazing, wouldn't it?
It will be. And like I said, November 22nd on ABC.
Wow. Keep on dancing.
Well, Jennifer Lopez hosting, I bet there will be quite a bit of dancing.
Drama queen.
Well, I don't think she has that reputation anymore.
Gotta check that out.
Yeah. November 22nd.
And they're from Canada.
Who is?
Who?
I don't believe anyone I mentioned.
None of those people are from Canada.
From Canada. No.
Bitch.
No.
Rodney!
I am just telling you they're not from Canada. I am not a bitch.
Pretty interesting.
I know.
Moving on.
You sure?
Pete's uncomfortable.
Giddy up.
Allie just wants to do the whole show with Roddy. That's been her dream. What's happened here is that Chip is dying.
Yeah, Chip can't breathe over there.
And when Chip can't breathe, none of us can keep it together.
I dig. Why? Really sad.
I know. Chip will be fine.
I don't even know what that is.
Chip? She's a human. She runs the board.
Hoochie really coochie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know.
Big, thick.
Whoa!
Hey.
What?
Wait a minute.
Right.
Jeez.
Some dreams come true. Yeah. You're right. So glad you dig me. Sorry, kids. That's going to be quite something to check out.
I agree with Rodney on Sorry Kids, by the way.
So glad you dig me.
I do.
All right, wrap it up. All right, wrap it up.
You're the one doing it! What? All these stars were born today, November the 12th. Megan Mullally.
Genius.
Yeah. What?
Genius.
Oh.
Genius.
Genius. I thought he said hideous. I was
no,
going to fight
you
him.
Agree?
What's wrong with you?
All right. Megan Mullally is 57. Ryan Gosling, 35. Actress Anne Hathaway is 33.
Box.
And UFC Octagon girl, Ariane Celeste.
Wow.
Yeah, she is 30. I know.
Bitch.
No.
What?
No.
What is wrong with you?
She is lovely.
No. Are you serious?
Yeah, I am. I'm Allie McKay, in for Ralph Garman Walking. The show is beat.
Very excited to welcome our friend Dr. Drew Pinsky back to the Kevin and Bean Show for his weekly Thursday visit. I want to apologize, Doctor. I taped it, but I have not yet had a chance to watch your drunk history that aired Tuesday. How did it look to you?
You'll laugh. You'll cry. It's amazing. It's phenomenal. It was so much fun to do. And he kindly asked me to do another one. So I'm like, yeah, let me think about it. Okay.
For those of you who don't watch that show, there's somebody that is drunk that tells a story from history, and then there are recreations, and Dr. Drew is in one of the recreations.
And
which
the,
I...
genius, awesome. The genius of the recreation is while they're telling the history is the words of the drunk person are lip-synced by us,
right?
The actors, and so it just looks so damn funny. What a genius. I go, Derek, how did you think of this? What a fantastic idea. It came to him one day, much like Tesla's alternating current.
Sure. And you know what else is weird about Derek, and I know this isn't the subject because we've had him on the show a bunch of times, of course, is no one sounds drunker all the time than Derek who isn't drinking. When he's not drinking, he still sounds drunk.
That's really funny. And the drunk comedian that was voicing, that was telling the story that I was acting out, it was Duncan Trussell. And if you know Duncan, oh, my God, he's so yeah. If he's not high on acid, he's drunk. So it's all good.
Yeah, good stuff. All right. Well, listen, Doc, we have you on to talk medical issues. And we got an interesting one today that also is involving a celebrity. Because Pam Anderson, who famously years ago contracted hepatitis C, now says that she is cured, that she got a very expensive treatment that I guess is not available to most people, and she is now cured of the disease. Can you start by answering the 1-2 punch of what is Hep C, and number two is it possible to be cured?
Hep C is a virus. It's a relative, not a relative, but it behaves in a way similar to HIV. It's different than HIV in that HIV penetrates into the genetic material of a cell while HIV sort of hangs out in the cytoplasm, so it's easier to attack. It's a disease transmitted primarily by bloodborne contact, like HIV and sharing needles, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
There is some kinds, subtypes of the hepatitis C virus that could be transmitted sexually, though it's relatively unusual. And I think Pam had sort of contended that that's how she contracted it, and there's no reason not to believe her. And a certain percentage of the Hep C virus becomes chronic. That is, the virus just sits there and smolders along forever. There was nothing we could do about it. A high percentage of chronic Hep C patients get cirrhosis and then even liver cancer. It's a bad disease. And now some new antiviral medicines have come along that, particularly for the type 1 virus, can give like a 90 to 95% cure.
Wow.
Now, it's not legal here yet, right?
Absolutely it's legal here. There's several different options. In fact, the problem is many of the most effective options cost around $100,000 to even $150,000 per treatment course.
Ouch.
Now, the insurance companies do tend to pay for this because it's less expensive than liver transplants and caring for people with chronic liver disease. So I think that's sort of why, you know, there was tremendous and long-term research that went into this, and the fact that they're saving so much money when they cure the virus, I think that's why they got this goofy pricing on these drugs. Now, there are less expensive alternatives that aren't quite as effective, and some insurance companies will only cover those, but they're pretty effective. They're pretty good.
It sounds to me like, hearing you talk about this, like this is kind of a pretty big deal. This is a little bit of a breakthrough that they now have a way to beat this disease pretty regularly.
Nothing short of a miracle, in my opinion. I did research on it when I was a resident. That medicine, ribavirin, is still around, and we really never imagined a day where 3 months of treatment, 4 months of treatment would just cure Hep C. It's almost magical if you're like me and been working with this disease for so many years.
Is the same way of thinking something that might lead us to the same cure for HIV?
Well, it's yes. I mean, these are medicines that are used in HIV, or relatives of medicines used in HIV. But HIV is cagier; it's tougher. Like I said, it penetrates, it interpenetrates into the genetic material, and it can really hide and change and alter how it expresses itself. HIV is a little dumber. I mean, excuse me, hepatitis C is a little dumber. Easier to get at, easier to eradicate.
So let's talk about, and this is a tough issue, and you hear, especially in election years, you hear a lot about trying to get everybody health care. And I know that's something that Barack Obama has staked his reputation on, is trying to make health care affordable to everybody. What about the person who might be listening right now, Dr. Drew, who has Hep C but has no insurance and goes to the doctor and is told that this Salvati, which is the best pill available maybe, is $1,000 a pill? What's somebody like that supposed to do? What should we be doing for them as a society if the person is sick?
No one – listen, I'm not sure of the nuances of how the system would operate for a patient like that in a given county even, because it's different. It's a patchwork. But for the most part, A, let it be a cautionary tale. Everybody, all you got to do is sign up at a website. If you can't pay, arrangements can be made. Insurance is available for essentially everybody in the state of California. It is insane if you don't sign up. It can be very, very inexpensive. And then you will get covered. Now, I think one of the things they can do is get people to sign up, get some sort of compassionate basis. There's usually a way to get treatment. There usually is. They're not going to be left out to die of chronic liver disease. It's just maybe there are people that fall through the cracks, but our patchwork system does tend to solve the problems of people with really severe life-threatening illnesses.
Why did Pam Anderson go to Australia?
To get the treatment?
Yeah, why didn't she just get it here?
Maybe it wasn't approved here yet. I don't know. That's an interesting question. Did she go to Australia? You sure?
I thought that was part of the story.
I don't know. That's interesting. I had not heard that part. I heard her talk.
Maybe I just made that up.
I think that was Christine knew someone that was leaving to go to Australia to get a different treatment.
Ah.
But Kevin, good memory of something that did happen. So yay.
Something happened in Australia. Kevin heard about it one time.
Me. Yeah.
What's bizarre to me is why would she get a different treatment? This is perfectly effective with almost no side effects. It's magical. It's crazy. Listen, you want to vilify drug companies. Here's where the research and development has really created something phenomenal. Now, of course, on the other side, they price it crazy. But, you know, part of that is how ridiculous it is to get things through the FDA here in this country. Do you know how that works?
No.
No, we don't.
Okay, I know it takes years and years and years and years.
Well, the moment you take a molecule off the shelf and identify it, a clock begins ticking. And you have essentially 10 years to bring something to market and make a profit. It takes, on average, about 5 years to do the research and development and get it through the FDA, to the tune of somewhere between $800 million and $1.2 billion.
Whoa.
Just to get through the FDA.
Okay.
Then you have 5 years, since it's a 10-year course that you retain your patent, then you have 5 years to make your profit. And that's why these drugs are so damn expensive. Our system is against us. We need to streamline that some way, too.
And then after 10 years, there's the generics?
After 5 years.
5 years, right.
The generic. Yeah. And then the price drops way, way, way down.
Well, great stuff as always, Dr. Judah. I'm really excited to hear what you said about the Hep C treatments. That is outstanding news.
Fantastic. It's amazing.
You can watch Dr. Drew, of course, on HLN every Monday through Thursday night at 6 o'clock. You can hear him on the radio in the afternoons with his good friend Mike Catherwood on KABC. And, of course, right here on KREC 5 nights a week as the co-hosts of Loveline as well. Good talk. We'll do it again next Thursday. Thanks, Doc.
Okay.
106.7 KROC is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 9:42.
Here's what I love about our listeners is you make a mistake, and they're very forgiving and accommodating.
Nope.
And they got a lot of support for you,
nope.
And they're happy to help you.
Bean, I feel like that would have been the case the first 7 million mistakes.
Yeah, maybe you're right.
But now I think maybe they're fed up.
In the death corner, I was talking about a tragic accident of a young woman in Las Vegas who froze to death in a, let me say it right now, cryotherapy tank?
Not even.
Nope.
I think it's just cryo. Cryotherapy, and I said chirotherapy.
You said chiro,
I heard from a lot of people, including John, including Randy, including Hannah, including a lot of other people who were correcting me on that, blaming tapeworm tumors or something for the accident. But apparently it is cryotherapy.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So I apologize, and I'll try to do better next time.
Email Bean all weekend.
BeanAtKROQ.com.
It's insensitive. Though. It's just wrong.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And that was wrong.
It was wrong.
And that won't happen again on my watch.
I was wrong.
And I'm sorry.
I am sorry. I apologize for that. All right. Wrap us out. Allie's in. Time for the Showbiz Beat on a Thursday morning. Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on?
Jennifer, first of all, tweeted me very upset, Kevin, with your mispronunciation.
Oh.
So.
Well, I think people are right to assume if something is said wrong,
it's
me.
You.
I mean, that's a good assumption.
Yeah.
I don't blame her for that.
Hey, let's give something away, shall we?
Mm-hmm.
The movie The Night Before comes out in theaters November 20th, but you, the lovely KROQ listener, gets to go on Monday, November the 16th. It is a...
Yay!
Yes, kids!
Very excited.
Seven winners right now at 1-800-520-1067 are going to get advanced screening passes to The Night Before at AMC Burbank. If you haven't seen the trailer, look it up. It looks excellent. It's Joseph Gordon-Levitt, Seth Rogen, Anthony Mackie, they all get together the night before Christmas. They've been doing it since they were kids. This time, they just want to do it before they get too old. And shenanigans and hilarity ensue.
It all goes south.
It goes south.
Looks
real
awesome.
Quick. Looks real good. So you are going to get a pair of passes to the KROQ Advanced Screening. That's at the AMC Burbank on Monday, November the 16th. Call now. Speaking of now, if you are not down in Hollywood, get down there. You're going to want to be in front of the Dolby Theater. And why, you may ask?
Why?
Because actor Daniel Radcliffe is receiving his star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame today at 11:30. I love him.
How old is he?
26 years old. Star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. Star of all the Harry Potter movies. Broadway. He has done everything. 26.
Yeah.
Have you seen them all, Allie?
All the Harry Potter? Sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but no sweat. James Bonds?
Nope.
Okay.
Says Magic Bean. Magic.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
I like magic.
Harry Potter.
I
don't know.
Yeah.
Why would you say all the Harry Potter?
Have you seen
Seven Sundays in May?
I went to watch it.
Sold out, right?
Yes, yeah, sold out.
Oh, it's so frustrating.
So then
you had to go to
the Pink Fruit
Mountain. Yeah, that was in 3D, and that gives me migraines, so I'm just waiting for it to go to a...
Was that a double
feature
with Pig's Feet Don't Lie?
Yes.
A lot of good movies.
Oh, Kevin, you are magical. Something I did not know was happening, because I don't pay attention to Jimmy Fallon news, but I'm going to tape his show tomorrow night. Why? Because
Why?
A Tribe Called Quest will be reuniting on his show tomorrow. Also, the day that the 25th anniversary reissue of People's Instinctive Travels and the Paths of Rhythm is brought out. That is one of my all-time favorite albums. Start to finish, I can listen to that. It is genius. Who's with me?
I'm with you.
I mean, they're good.
Oh, what?
I don't feel like that's the enthusiasm she was looking for, Dean.
A lot of our listeners may be unfamiliar with A Tribe Called Quest. Would you mind if I just played a clip of one of their songs?
Please.
Just so we know why Ali is so excited?
Yeah.
Okay.
Milk, lemonade. Milk, lemonade. Milk, lemonade.
was a great, that was one of their best hits.
Well, that's actually Amy Schumer doing a song. Yeah, but if, kids, if you don't know who they are, go.
Here, I have a clip.
Okay.
I have a clip. I think everybody recognizes this.
All right.
You're the head, you're on the spear. You're the nail on the cross. You're the fly in my beer. You're the key that got lost. You're the letter from Jesus.
So everybody
no, that recognizes. Also, nope, not A Tribe Called Quest.
Oh. Hmm.
You got something else, Kevin?
So maybe you don't recognize
it. That'll never get old.
Nope.
So good. 25th anniversary reissue will feature new bonus remixes of their songs, including Pharrell Williams' take on Bonita Applebaum. Gotta put me on. You know that one.
No, but I'd like to hear some of it.
Bonita Applebaum, you gotta put me on. Bonita, Bonita, Bonita. It's so much better than that. J. Cole's remix of Can I Kick It? Yes, you can. Better than that, and CeeLo Green is going to do Footprints. Look it up, kids. I mean, really, it's
I'm enjoying your version.
One of the best.
I think you should continue.
The rumors keep swirling, and my God, I hope it's true. Guns N' Roses reunion rumors, this time from a Portuguese news outlet and Dish Nation. They're claiming that Axl Rose and Slash have made up, and they're going to do a two-hour concert together with the rest of the original lineup in Portugal next year. After that, they're going to play festivals in Europe and the U.S. before kicking off a massive world tour. This is all aligning with their 30th anniversary of Guns N' Roses. Do you think it's even close to possible?
I feel like this is Lucy with the football.
Oh,
again. That's what I feel like.
And Charlie Brown is totally Slash.
Yep.
Yeah.
He full on believes that he's going to kick that ball.
And Axl is Lucy, and she's like, nope, look at my face. Nope.
I don't know. That's just my instinct, is that I've heard this before, and it doesn't always go well. That's
But let's be honest, Guns N' Roses, Coachella, let's make that happen. Let's put it out there now to the universe. Slash, if it's not happening, make it happen. You can do it. You're the good one. Call Axl.
That helps.
Yeah, call him.
Okay.
Make up. Daniel Fleetwood, we all know him. He's the super fan who got to see The Force Awakens right before he passed away. Well, now we know that he will go onto eternity in a custom-made lightsaber urn. His brother-in-law, who's an engineer, has designed the urn as an exact replica of Darth Vader's weapon. That's phenomenal. This guy was the biggest Star Wars fan ever.
But did he have your pillows? No, he did not.
We don't know that they didn't. I bet they did. I bet their whole house.
We should take calls from people who have specialty urns.
Mm-hmm.
I'll bet there are a lot of them.
Absolutely. Sure. And he is having his, his family is having his celebration of life on November the 21st. And if the urn is not finished, they have a backup urn, which is a ceramic Death Star. So either way, he is set for the afterlife.
Sure.
All right. We now know where the next Real Housewives series franchise is going to be. Kevin, you had made a joke that maybe it would be Riverside, and you said what?
Well, I said that show's already on the air. It's called Cops.
Still good.
But
still good. It is not Riverside.
Oh, okay.
But we do know where it is. It is going to be
San Francisco.
Nope. Bean?
Real Housewives. Look, there are rich people in lots of big cities. I'm trying to think. Does Chicago have a franchise
yet? They don't. Here's who does. Beverly Hills, Orange County, New York, Atlanta, Miami.
I'll just say Chicago then.
It is not Chicago. Chip, do you have a guess?
Branson.
Branson, Missouri.
That is
a great guess. No. No. January 17th will introduce viewers to the wealthy African-American families who have broken racial barriers and now reside in the sophisticated community of Potomac.
What?
The Real Housewives of Potomac.
Potomac, Maryland?
Yes! Just up the river from D.C. No one knows where it is. Why?
That's a strange choice.
I thought it was as well. But don't worry, Dallas, you're next. That's coming out later on in the year as well.
And they're from Canada.
No, it's Baltimore, which is, D.C.
Adjacent.
Not Canada at all. Why is Ryan Seacrest so much better than all of us?
In what way?
In the way that he has gazillions of dollars and has his hand in everything.
Yeah, he's way better than us in that.
So he has his own line of suits. Fine, we get it. You're a dapper dresser. But now you, too, can have skin like Ryan Seacrest. The Hollywood Reporter says the TV host is teaming up with the Beverly Hills dermatologist, Dr. Harold Lancer, launching his own skin line. Skin care line, not skin.
Yeah, that would be weird. Need some skin.
So much happening. And, of course, if you missed it, Taylor Swift is off the hook. Thank God. A judge has dismissed a copyright lawsuit brought against her by a man named Jesse Braham, who said her song Shake It Off, exactly like mine. And if you don't believe it, listen. Taylor's gone. Taylor's gone. Taylor's gone. Taylor's gone. No.
How could he not win that lawsuit?
He claimed in the lawsuit that 92% of the song came from his. What?
All right.
Well, it's been dismissed, but the way that Judge Gail Standish dismissed it, it says she cheekily quoted lyrics from Taylor Swift songs, but here's what she said. At present, the court is not saying that Braham can never, ever, ever get his case back in court, but for now, we have got problems. And the court is not sure Braham can solve them.
Really?
Because those are lyrics. Taylor Swift. What? Bean, you can't be happy with that. You're happy that Taylor, lawsuit was dismissed, but that's weird.
It is weird. And
the judge is quoting lyrics? Yes.
Yeah, I don't. Here's the last thing you want to do as a judge is call attention to yourself as being a person who is invested in the outcome. Yeah. And that does make her sound like a Taylor Swift fan, which is not how she should be appearing at that moment where she's ruling on a case.
By the way, it's possible, though, in the court that this guy was a total D-bag and everyone hated him and she was probably just going along with it. I mean, who knows?
Yeah, it's possible. It's not very professional from a judge. That's all I'm saying. You know, so it would be like if a referee comes out, you know, wearing a hat from one of the teams. It's just like your job is to be impartial.
All right. Let's end this, shall we?
Yep.
Excellent. All of these stars were born today on November the 12th. Actor Ryan Gosling, thank God you were born. You are 35 today. Actress Anne Hathaway, 33. UFC Octagon girl Ariana Celeste is 30. And one of the most talented women on television, actress Megan Mullally, is 57 years old. I'm Allie McKay, in for Ralph Garman, walking the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Allie. Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean show. We have Jensen Karp on the program. He runs Gallery 1988, and he's got a Star Wars art show to tell you about, which I think most people will be interested in. We have a cricket player on the program. We have R.J. Bell that we're going to talk to from Las Vegas about his NFL picks. I believe it's week 10.
I heard something weird. Hold on. Wait. What was that before R.J. Bell? We had a what player?
We have the movie beat. Because it's Friday.
It sounded like you said a cricket player.
And we have
the
very last pair of tickets for Coldplay.
But cricket?
And one of the most famous cricket players in the world.
Cricket.
Okay.
That's happening. They're doing a thing at Dodger Stadium.
It's going to be huge.
Yeah.
It's
going to
be
huge.
It's going to be huge.
But it's cricket. So that's tomorrow. So listen at your own risk.